Back here on the Bernie and Sid show on this, Friday Eve, I like to call it, October 13th. Got a couple of warm, not Indian summer, a couple of warm days left here in October, and next week we will feel the crispness of fall. The crispness is coming, but in the meantime, it is like early September, and enjoy it, folks, enjoy it. Sid Rosenberg, how the hell are you, my lad? You're tired, right?
I'm banged up, bro.
Banged up. Listen, yeah. You did a good thing last night. I actually saw some of the coverage on Channel 5.
Is that right?
Yeah,
believe they were
it.
There last night?
They were there.
Steve Lacy?
Well, I don't think he was. It was one of the reporters.
No kidding.
Yeah.
I don't even know anymore.
They teased it. I didn't see the report itself, but you'll talk about it a little more later.
Yeah. It was a beautiful event. It was at Monody's Ballpark. I'll get into details later. Margaret Josephs, our friend, received a beautiful award. Great job by Dolores Catania. Everybody there last night. And all these beautiful breast cancer survivors, the models were great. So it was a success, a home run from Monody's Hospital in Brooklyn last night.
And speaking of Brooklyn, by the way, we're heard on the 77 WABC app, ladies and gentlemen. Also simulcast out on Eastern Long Island, News Talk 107.1 FM, Hampton Bays and Points East. Also live streamed at WABCRadio.com. Live stream on TV, your smart TVs, on your computers. Gabriela Lopez doing a terrific job. Not so happy today that it's not Friday. But speaking of Brooklyn, I mean, if I had told you, let's say, 5 years ago, that there are three weird stories out there right now. There's a lot of stories, a lot of stuff going on. But speaking of Brooklyn, you had actually an Asian, lesbian-Asian love triangle involving an NYPD officer who ended up shooting one. You can see that?
Yeah, I can see that.
All right, that's in Bensonhurst.
Right.
Or William Shatner going up to space at 90 years old.
What is that? How was that Brooklyn related?
Well, it's not.
Oh, okay. All right. Oh, just weird stories.
Yeah.
What's the weirdest one? Asian?
I'll give you one more.
Go ahead.
A Muslim terrorist in Norway kills five people with a bow and arrow.
Oh, wow. That's a different way to do it. Certainly messes up the folks who are yelling and screaming about guns.
Yeah, a little bit.
I got to go with Bill Shatner. And I think the craziest part about that story is, of all people to remark on that story, to criticize Jeff Bezos, Prince William. Where does that come from? Yeah. Prince William came out yesterday and blasted Jeff Bezos on this trip to space with Captain Kirk.
Which makes a mockery of what the original astronauts did. I mean, they actually did some really, really brave stuff. This was nothing.
Is
like they went up 63 miles. They crossed the line of no gravity and came back, and that was that, 10 minutes. But what these guys, what John Glenn did sitting up there, come on.
Neil Armstrong.
Though he is 90 years old, I'll give him that.
Bill
Shatner.
Yeah, no, but so you just sat in an airplane, basically. They're probably playing Apollo 13 on the TV screen while he went up there for 3 minutes.
And he was crying like a little baby yesterday when he came back to Jeff Bezos. Take a listen to him.
It was so moving to me. This experience is something unbelievable. What you have given me is the most profound experience I can imagine.
Thank you, Jeff.
Filled with emotion about what just happened.
You know what he was filled with?
I hope I never recover from this.
His diaper was filled with.
Yeah. By the way, he didn't cry nearly that much when they found his wife dead in the swimming pool. A story I still, to this day, don't believe we got all the details on. In the spirit of O.J. Simpson and Robert Blake, if you remember that story, William Shatner came home and his wife was dead in a swimming pool.
Yeah.
He didn't cry that much then.
Guess why? It was just like the Asian lesbian love triangle. With the NYPD officer. Anyway, listen, you mentioned Prince William. Yeah, for some reason, he's harshing on Jeff Bezos and all these people. And I got to tell you, you know what? Maybe he makes a point. I don't know. Take a listen.
You know, we are seeing a rise in climate anxiety. You know, people, young people now are growing up where their futures are basically being threatened the whole time. It's very unnerving and it's very, anxiety making. We need some of the world's greatest brains and minds fixed on trying to repair this planet, not trying to find the next place to go and live.
Shut up. You know what?
Seriously.
On second thought, you don't make any point. Look, whatever. They got all this money. I don't know what they're trying to accomplish, to be quite honest with you. what the point is. What is there some research going on? I think they're just trying to make money for space travel, for space tourism.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, they're gonna make trips like that available to people like you and I and everyday folks. So right now they're trying it out themselves. And whether it's who's the guy that owns Virgin Airways or Richard Branson or Jeff Bezos or any one of these guys or Elon Musk. And then they'll do it themselves, and they'll bring up a couple of celebrities, and then people like you and I will have a chance to go to the moon.
That's it.
In a couple of years.
It's all for a personal gain. But, you know, that's what
when that's
you're
all
rich,
it is.
That's what you do when you're rich, right? You just blow money on whatever your personal pet peeves are.
You can blow money on stuff like that, or you can spend nearly $420 million to make sure that Joe Biden beats Donald Trump when you're rich. Like Mark Zuckerberg did.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's all over the New York Post. Yeah, Facebook, that they were biased in favor of Joe Biden.
No.
Duh. And, yeah, it's been a year now this week since the whole Hunter, a laptop from hell thing came out. When they essentially, they had been rigging the election all along. I mean, let's face it. 2016, they tried to rig it with the Russia collusion thing. And then for 4 years, they tried to usurp the president of the United States, President Trump, with the same thing and with a bunch of other lies. So they were rigging stuff left and right, the very fine people lies, all kinds of, well, I mean, just too numerous to mention. But it's been a year now since that particular story came out.
It's almost been a year since Trump lost, believe it or not. We're a couple of weeks away from the year anniversary of the actual election.
Speaking of which, I'll get to Jack Cittarelli. Jack Cittarelli and versus Phil Murphy. They had the debate, of course, the night before last.
2 nights ago, right.
And Cittarelli did a terrific bang-up job by all accounts. I did not see it. But to give you an idea of how close it is, tomorrow you have Jill Biden. They won't send the imbecile because, well, he's not popular right now. So they think sending Dr. Jill... A doctor of what? What is she a doctor of?
Oh, I don't know. Proctology, maybe?
No, I don't think so.
One a-hole after another?
I don't think it has anything to do with medicine. She read a couple of books. But anyway, next week they're going to send President Obama. So Cittarelli...
To Jersey?
Cittarelli is closing the gap in Jersey. We already don't know that's happening in Virginia because, McAuliffe acknowledged as much. But the closer at the debate... the other night, this was very telling. The crowd really went nuts. I mean, they really gave it to Murphy because he was race baiting and he said some crap. And it was just a very telling moment about his chances, I think. Listen to this.
We have to keep moving forward. We cannot go backward, and we cannot afford an extreme leader. There's so much on the ballot. There's so much at stake. Do we stand with our sacred democracy? Or do we stand with Confederate flags and white supremacists and a pack of lies? Do we stand?
I mean,
do we continue?
Yeah, Jack Manzo told us this yesterday.
Do we continue to make the tough calls based on science and data to save as many lives as we can? Or do we put lives at risk because we play politics?
I mean,
do we stand up for women's
reproductive
freedom?
Shut up. So there you go. Invoking what Jack Cittarelli is a white nationalist. I mean, this is their go-to when they have nothing else.
Nothing else.
The last refuge of a scumbag with no argument, essentially. And Phil Murphy is no better than any of the other race baiters.
No better. He may be worse than all of them. That was one thing of a bittersweet about last night's event that I did go to, which again was beautiful, was that I did miss the event at the Brownstone in Patterson last night where they raised a ton of money for Jack Cittarelli, led by, of course, by Jack and Tommy Manzo. I hope that's the case. I'm sure one of those guys will call us today. So the night after the debate, they had the big fundraiser last night. Now you're saying that all these Democrat leaders are going to Jersey in an effort to back Phil Murphy. Looks like Jack Cittarelli's making some big noise.
Yeah,
and it all started right here with me and you.
That's right.
Right here.
And by the way, he's got what it takes. Man, this guy is a leader. He's good. I'm surprised we hadn't heard of him before. He's been an assemblyman in New Jersey for a while, but also, first and foremost, a businessman. A businessman, a certified public accountant, among other things. So he's got private sector experience as well. He's got what it takes. He may be, as we talked about yesterday, he just may be even better than Ron DeSantis at this point if he got that national exposure. That's Jack Cittarelli. One last thing. We talked yesterday about we used to have on this show on a regular basis, I guess, Dr. Sanjay Gupta.
Yeah.
Dr. Sanjay from CNN. He was one of the – we thought he was one of the more sane guys there. And they asked us to have him on. So we were like, okay, let's put him on.
He was very nice when he came on with you and I. Very nice. Mostly he talked about the legalization of marijuana and why it's good.
Right. He was doing his special. So it was – they were innocuous. They were funny. Seems like a nice guy. So anyway, of course, recently you've heard about this ivermectin story, how the fake news is like, especially because Joe Rogan took ivermectin, they were wishing
him
dead. They called it horse dewormer,
yes.
And how could anybody take this stuff? They're making jokes on late night TV. Jimmy Kimmel, Coward Stern is wishing Joe Rogan died from the ivermectin, all this stuff. Anyway, Sanjay Gupta appeared on the Joe Rogan show, and guess what? Joe Rogan, to his credit, he called out fake news CNN and Sanjay Gupta for lying about his situation. Remember, Don Lemon and all those people, Joy Reid, all of them, they jumped in the fake news, calling it the horse dewormer and horse medicine, this, that, the other. But this was priceless. Listen to Joe Rogan call out Sanjay Gupta. They're really calling out CNN, but he's the chief medical doctor, so he's like, why didn't you say something? Take a listen.
But don't you think that a lie like that is dangerous on a news network when you know that they know they're lying? You know that they know that I took medicine. Like, here it is. This is ivermectin.
You got it
right here. Do you think that's a problem that your news network lies?
Well, I don't.
Dude.
What did they say?
They lied and said I was taking horse dewormer. First of all, it was prescribed to me by a doctor.
Yeah. You got it from a doctor, so that it shouldn't be called that. Ivermectin can be a very effective medication for parasitic disease.
Really?
Can I just come back to the one I want to talk about? Two things on the ledger.
Before we get to that, does it bother you that the news network you work for out and out lied?
Well,
just outright lied about me taking horse dewormer.
They shouldn't have said that.
Why did they do that?
I don't know.
You didn't ask? You're the medical guy over there.
I didn't ask. I should have asked before.
They did it with
podcast.
Such glee.
No,
yes,
Joe.
They did. I watched.
Not so fast, Sanjay. Not so fast. I'd like to move on to that. No. Before we move on, why did they lie? What do you think about the lie? Why didn't you speak up as the chief medical? Joe Rogan, I got to tell you something. He's becoming a force on the national scene, Joe Rogan. And people used to dismiss podcasters. This guy's got,
I still do.
Yeah, this guy's got like, what, 10 million?
He's the real deal. Joel and Mark Maron, I guess those guys. I don't even know who's big anymore. Who's the guy that used to work with Dr. Drew?
Adam Carolla.
But for the most part, podcasters are kids who are not good enough to do radio, and they're in their mother's basement with their knees at their ankles talking about MMA.
For the most part. But
yeah,
this
like
was
99%.
This guy is not that. And,
no, he's a real deal,
and
Rogan.
That was priceless right there.
Yeah, he's great. Rogan's great. How is it possible, I just asked Justin, Ellick, how is it possible, I look across the glass, this is the marquee radio show at this station. This station runs because of us. That sounds really, really arrogant, but it's true. How is it possible that I look across the glass and there's a kid sitting in there who I have no idea who he is?
His name is Kevin. This is Kevin. He's with us on Thursdays now because we can't have Luke here 5 days a week. He's a part-time employee. Overwork him. This is Kevin. He's with us on Thursdays. He's going to be our call screener.
Wait. Is he the same guy who ran our board once? Because I can't see.
No, that's not the same Kevin.
No.
That poor kid took a beating.
Well, he still works here.
No, I see him once in a while. He looks like Luke a little bit. There's a bunch of fat guys, but like they all look alike.
Speaking of podcasts, he's going to be engineering my podcast today, which I'm recording. This the kid Kevin that did our board hopping. My podcast, by the way, is called American Lives Matter. You can find it on WABCRadio.com. I will be recording a new one today.
As I will
right
be.
After the show.
Well,
doing the same thing. It's actually funny you bring all this up because now Kevin has.
Which Kevin? This Kevin?
No. Kevin Drosch,
right?
Who ran the board for you guys that one time.
Yeah.
He now
it was more than once. It was a nightmare. Go ahead.
he's now supervising weekends, so the job that I used to have.
Okay, well, good luck, Kevin. It's nice to have you here, buddy. It's your first day, right?
No, I've been here for the past couple of months. I've been a brand ambassador for the station at events, going around.
Wow.
I was at Columbus.
No, but this is the first
day
you worked on this show, this specific
quickly,
show.
And now I'm doing board ops, so I'm excited to be here.
Do you have a police record?
Not yet.
No comment.
I do.
Yeah, so do I. There you go. Aspire for bigger and better.
Well, mine's gone now, but, I did.
It was expunged?
It was expunged.
Okay. It was a youthful offender.
So you got it.
We both have podcasts today, huh? I got to do the same thing after the
show. I tell you, it ain't easy, you know?
And mine's on video, and I'm all banged up as it is today. Then I got to take my son to meet Joseph Abboud to get his bar mitzvah suit, then hop in a car and go to Freeport, Long Island to host his GOP Nassau County
Listen,
event tonight.
One of those things is going to give, I predict.
Which is giving up. I can't give up my son in the bar mitzvah.
I guarantee. I'll tell you what. I predict the podcast gives.
It gives?
That's my prediction.
I'm going to start begging Doug now.
That's my prediction.
Let's do it next week. Bernie's right. 1-800-848-WABC. Great guest list today. Bill O'Reilly, Dan Crenshaw, and Eric Scheffler for the Staten Island baseball team. This is the Thursday edition of Bernie and Sid. It's 6:24 on your Thursday morning, back here on the Bernie and Sid in the Morning Show on Talk Radio 77 WABC. Brian Adams, great song right there. Again, we've got three terrific guests today. Eric Scheffler, the president of our Staten Island baseball team. I think we've got the name now. I think it's official. We'll announce that this morning right here on this show. Congressman Dan Crenshaw will be here today, and of course, the all-time great Bill O'Reilly. So, this event I went to last night was at Maimonides Ballpark, used to be MCU Ballpark in Coney Island. And you guys know we've done a ton of stuff there, dating back to the softball game that we played, me and Bernie, when we got beat by the Maimonides medical staff. You all know this summer I played another softball game there with Dolores and the Housewives, and we actually won that game. September 10th, you know, every year for the last 3 years, with my good buddy Chuck Schuller was there last night, I go down to the Wall of Remembrance to honor the fallen who died from Brooklyn, firefighters and cops on 9/11. So a lot of events the last couple of years at that specific ballpark, and it just so happens last night's Pink Runway event for breast cancer was at that ballpark. But what I've got now, which I've never had before, was a place to go and hang out, shower, get dressed, and then go to the event. In the past, I'd have to get dressed at home, sit in the car for an hour and a half, you know, with traffic, get my suit all wrinkled up, and then go to the event. Now, I go into Brooklyn early. I go to Coney Island. I go to the beautiful Ocean Drive Towers owned by John and Margot Katsimatidis, who I love dearly. And I got the keys to the apartment. So
sweet.
It's so sweet. So I walk in yesterday.
Oceanfront view,
22nd floor.
Damn right.
Whole thing. So I keep, every time I go back now, I go to ShopRite in Sheepshead Bay, and I stack the place with some goods. I've got milk there. I've got iced tea there. I've got cookies there, cereal there, the whole thing. So I walk in yesterday. And there's always the same two people who work the same day shift in the afternoon downstairs at the desk when you walk in. And I walk in, they go, "Hey, Mr. Rosenberg, we haven't seen you for quite some time. Welcome back." I don't want to tell them I don't really live here. You know, I come back and forth every now and then, but you haven't seen me because I don't really live here. I'm like, no, I had to do some traveling. It's good to be back.
Were they disappointed or did they seem happy?
No, they love me down there. They make a big deal about it. The guy lent me his sneakers a couple of times ago. I gave him $20. You know, he made a big deal about it.
Yeah, so they were happy to see you.
Happy to see me.
All right.
Went back up to the apartment, was able to hang out for a couple of hours, got dressed, took a shower, and went out to the big event last night. So
nice.
Now, the place was closed downstairs, though. I was dying. And Bernie for a Knish, dying for Coney Island Knish, and the place was closed downstairs.
I hate when that
happens. Disappointed me.
Yeah, that's no good.
Yeah,
no good. You want a nice potato Knish?
Can't beat it.
You can't. You can't. I like them baked.
Do they bake it downstairs?
I like the round baked ones.
Oh, okay. These are the square ones.
I don't like those.
The place downstairs, right downstairs from the apartment, that it's like an outdoor eatery. They've got Nathan's hot dogs and Nathan's Knishes.
Oh man.
How great is that? God, I don't have to walk all the way down the boardwalk to Nathan's. It's right there downstairs from the apartment.
Sweet.
I mean, it's a beautiful place. The building is beautiful. The gym is pristine. I was in the gym yesterday for a little bit.
A lot of free weights?
a lot of free weights.
Sweet.
All the machines you need.
I like what I hear.
Yeah, because a lot of these buildings and hotels and like my building, for example, in the Upper West Side, the gym is a joke. It's smaller than this than the studio.
It's two treadmills and like a pulley thing that you pull down.
That's exactly right. And free weights go from like 10 pounds to 50.
Yeah, to three dumbbells or something.
That's it. No, the gym in this building, in Katsimatidis buildings, is beautiful with an oceanfront view. I mean, it really is. It's a lap of luxury. And I got to tell you, I know he's got two buildings there. Maybe he'll build some more. I don't know. But what a gorgeous place to live. Even yesterday. Now, you live on the beach. Yesterday was completely overcast. There was no sunshine, none. But I sat outside on the 22nd floor with the breeze coming from the ocean. And there were plenty of people still walking on the boardwalk, even though it was kind of cloudy and felt damp. It was beautiful.
It was a gorgeous day.
Beautiful.
Out where I was, it was beautiful in the afternoon. Around noon, it was fantastic.
But no sunshine.
There was a little bit of sun coming through.
Oh, I didn't
have any. Yeah. A little bit. I went to sleep at about 1:30 in the afternoon, and it was kind of bright. Bright and gorgeous out, yeah.
Yeah, we had none in Brooklyn, but it was still just so beautiful. You know, there's nothing like the smell of that ocean. I'm a big ocean guy. You lived on the beach for a long time. There's nothing like the smell. I don't care if it's August, November, or April. It's like the smell of a baseball field in April. You never forget that.
No. Sometimes at low tide, it can get a little rank.
Fishy.
A little rank.
A little fishy.
Fishy.
Like Sheepshead Bay.
Right. But either way, yeah. No, there's nothing like it. The smell of the fresh ocean breeze, the air. They say it's good for your health.
I think it is, too.
You'll live to be 100. 100. 100.
I think it is, too. So thank you once again to John and Margot Katsimatidis for another wonderful day and night. You didn't even know you did it, but you did it. And I love you both very, very much. We will get to this Kyrie Irving story, the Brooklyn net player, who will not get vaccinated. Therefore, he is now no longer a part of the team. He's on the team. I shouldn't say that. But he's not allowed to play. And, you know, the Nets, they had a $187 million contract extension on the table for Kyrie Irving. Nearly $200 million on the table for Kyrie Irving. They've taken it off the table.
Oh, well, that's too bad. Look, the guy, he's walking the walk.
He's walking the walk.
I would say this. If I were in his shoes, I would just get the vaccine. But I still respect his choice.
I can't respect his choice because I don't like him. Because of all this BLM nonsense, and he's racist.
Well,
Kyrie Irving's a racist, so I can't respect him for this because the rest of his life is a mess.
But what's refreshing to see is that this anti-vax vaccine mandate movement cuts across all kinds of party and ethnic lines.
Well, of course, it does.
It's about liberty.
He says he's not anti-vax.
It's about freedom of choice. He's not anti-vax. It's just, in other words, it's his choice. And in this case, just like Eric Adams when he campaigns, he's saying all the right things. So.
Yeah. I mean, he's just the type of guy that doesn't want to do what people tell him to do, whether it's his coach, his GM, his owner. So this really is very consistent with Kyrie Irving. It is.
I know that. He's a half a screwball.
He's a bad guy. He's not a half a screwball. Makes it sound like he's not a bad guy. He's a little crazy. He's a bad guy.
Okay.
He's not out there raping and killing people, but he is a cancer in the locker room. A cancer in the locker room, wherever he's been. Cleveland, Boston, now here in Brooklyn.
I have heard that, yes.
Brutal. Yeah. Brutal. So we've got the audio of him rambling on last night in his attempt to come off like somebody who was actually heroic in taking a stance.
Let me ask you this.
It was brutal.
Howard Stern and Jimmy Kimmel and people like that, and a lot of people on the left, they wish people like Joe Rogan, who they consider anti-vax, they wish him dead.
Yeah.
Now Kyrie Irving is the big face of the anti-vax mandate movement. Will they wish him dead?
He's a black guy.
It always comes down to that.
Yeah, but I mean, they could.
The answer is no. They'll stay.
Right.
They won't touch him with a 10-foot pole.
Right. And by the way, in all defense of Howard, he may not even know who Kyrie Irving is.
Sure.
He's not a sports
guy.
Sure.
You don't have to know.
I know. He's on every paper.
Right,
I know.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Your point is well taken.
That's very convenient.
The double standard continues.
Traffic and sports, ladies and gentlemen, coming up next. But right now, it is time for the 77 WABC Clip of the Day. Listen to Dick Morris. This and every Sunday at noon. Here, Dick Morris talks about President Biden. Take a listen.
So if you're Xi, the dictator of China, and you're sitting there in Beijing, and you see Biden in the White House, what is your reaction? What is your feeling about Biden?
Hello, is there anybody in there?
there anyone home? That's going to be their attitude. And they're not afraid of Biden. They look at Biden and they laugh like hell.
This is Sid on Sports.
Oh, my goodness!
Sponsored by Peerless Boilers on 77 WABC.
Big game tonight, the right to take on the Atlanta Braves and represent the National League in this year's World Series. It's a decisive Game 5 between the Dodgers and the Giants. They've each won 109 baseball games this year. Yet, it all comes down to tonight, the Giants and the Dodgers. Here's Dodgers skipper Dave Roberts on tonight's game.
The goal is still to win the World Series and have Max starting game one in the NLCS if we get there, increase that chance. But obviously, I'm not immune to the fact that you don't get there unless you win game five. But how he feels matters because you still got to be effective.
Max, of course, being Max Scherzer. The winner of tonight's game will take on the Atlanta Braves in the NLCS starting on Saturday. The ALCS between the Houston Astros and the Boston Red Sox, that gets going tomorrow. Tonight, we start week six of the NFL. Tom Brady, the red-hot 4-1 Tampa Bay Buccaneers in Philadelphia. For Alex, 2-3 Philadelphia Eagles, fresh off a big road win in Carolina against the Panthers. And NHL started last night, not the way I wanted the season start for my hockey blue shirts.
And now the Rangers with an extra attacker for all of 8 seconds. Backhand shot, score! Ovechkin, his second of the night, as he pulls ahead of Marcel Dion, all alone in fifth place. Capitals take the season over 5-1.
Kenny Albert on the call, 2 goals for Ovechkin. The Capitals beat up my Rangers 5-1. Season starts tonight for the Islanders. They're in Carolina for the Hurricanes and Joe Nolan's New Jersey Devils. They open their season tomorrow night at the Pru in Newark against the Chicago Blackhawks. Sports brought to you by Pete Morgan and Peerless Boilers. Check them out today, peerlessboilers.com, paviliontankless.com. They do build America's best boilers. With sports, I'm Sid.
The latest news, behind-the-scenes videos. Get it all now. Like 77 WABC on Facebook. Stay entertained and informed now with Bernie and Sid in the Morning.
Oh, my God. Just such an unbelievable moment.
Brandon, you also told me I can hear the chants from the crowd. Let's go, Brandon.
I was all right for a while. I could smile for a while.
Back here on the Bernie and Sid Show.
But I saw you last
heard
night
everywhere on that 77 WABC app. Just a little feel-good audio for you there, ladies and gentlemen. Let's go, Brandon. That thing is it's not going away. Not going away at all. They're making rap songs out of it. You got little kids at races. Introducing races and then jumping in saying, let's go, Brandon. It's a beautiful thing. And speaking of which, the imbecile was out yesterday. Of course, we had this big supply chain log jam, whatever you want to call it. Oh, by the way, inflation went up yesterday. The numbers came out. It was at 4-point-something%. It went up to 5.4% yesterday, which is the highest since 1991. And this backup with all these supplies has been going on for a long time. It's going on for a month now. And again, as I mentioned yesterday, the lethargy, the malaise, the apathy, the incompetence on the part of this administration with all their cabinet members, everything, you know, from Afghanistan to the border to crime, you name it, everything. They did nothing about it. And of course, we have as the head of the transportation department here, this the Secretary of Transportation, a fake war hero, a failed small town mayor, Fort Wayne, Indiana, this sneaky Pete Buttigieg. So they should kick his ass out. I mean, this is this supply chain thing. It shouldn't happen. So anyway, Biden comes out yesterday and he says that they should keep the ports open 24 hours a day. so we can get this this thing taken care of. But the problem isn't really keeping the ports open, is that they don't have labor. They don't have people to unload the ships. They don't have drivers to drive the trucks. So this dummy, he stands there and he lectures. First of all, he took no questions. At the end of the whole thing, it was hashtag walk away Joe. He just walked away. But in the meantime, he tried to lecture us like we don't know what the supply chain is. Listen to this guy.
And with the holidays coming up, you might be wondering if gifts you plan to buy will arrive on time. Well, let me explain. Supply chains essentially mean how we make things and how the material and parts get delivered to a factory,
so
we can manufacture things and manufacture them here. How we move things, how a finished product moves from a factory to a store to your home.
Let me just say, thanks for that.
That's his explanation.
Yeah, that little tutorial on the supply chain. Appreciate that. You know, one thing to note is that absolutely nothing made in the United States, nothing that is made here in the United States, is stuck on any of those cargo ships. All right, keep it made in America, manufactured in America, and we won't have these problems. Speaking of Sneaky Pete, this little weasel who's got no answers. Remember this guy? Remember he took a fleet of SUVs to some meeting out in Washington D.C. A fleet of SUVs, then got out about two blocks away, and they unloaded a bunch of bikes. And he slapped on a helmet to make it look like, yeah, I'm green friendly. I don't take carbon emitting SUVs. And he took the bike the two blocks the rest of the way. Unbeknownst to him, of course, he was caught on camera getting out of the SUV, slapping on the helmet and getting in the bike. But anyway, this was him yesterday, really, just way in over his head. Listen to him.
How bad are they going to get for Americans? And I'm talking specifically, leading here into the December holidays where people are relying on getting goods, on getting presents.
Well, I think there's always been two kinds of Christmas shoppers. There's the ones who have all their list completed by Halloween, and then there's people like me who show up at the mall on Christmas Eve. If you're in that latter bucket, obviously there's going to be more challenges.
What are you talking about? First of all, the overwhelming majority of folks don't have enough money, and they shop right through November and December. They're not done by Halloween. That's a very, 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 very small percentage. That's first of all.
It's a non-answer. He didn't answer the question.
No,
he offered no solutions whatsoever. They're winging it. They sent him out to CNN, and he had nothing to say.
So what is the bottom line? I mean, I know you're going to tell the truth. So if I'm out there and I'm worried about my Christmas shopping and all that, should I be worried? Is it going to be
an issue? Yes, of course. And not only your Christmas shopping, but I'm telling you, food and all kinds of things, cars, toothbrushes, things like that, light bulbs, stuff like that. There's going to be a shortage.
Because I got to tell you, I was in Christie's yesterday, again, John Katzmatidis on 103rd and Broadway, and every shelf was stacked. They weren't missing anything. It's coming?
Especially here on the East Coast, we're doing okay. Our ports aren't necessarily backed up. The one down in Augusta, Georgia is.
Gotcha.
But the rest of them here are still good. But it's going to be a ripple effect. It's going to happen. The shortages are coming. They're telling you right now, if you want to buy Christmas gifts, buy them now. But the two things, the labor shortage, that was definitely caused by Biden's, his paying people not to work. The eviction moratoriums, again, the unemployment bonuses, and then the bonuses stopped. And people were like, I can still survive on regular unemployment. And all these stimulus checks that these families got. I don't care who wants to run interference for the Biden administration. That's what it is. Plus 5.4% inflation right now. Building infrastructure. They should scrap both these bills, the bipartisan one and the $3.5 trillion, which is really $5 trillion, welfare state, energy-killing sector bill. They should scrap them both. Inflation is really, really dangerous. It's really, really a pernicious phenomenon. It really destroys economies and countries. It's bad.
Well, you say they should scrap them both, and again, for the folks out there that aren't as into this as you are, you know all this stuff. We thought weeks ago one of these bills, if not both, would be passed. Here, neither one has been passed up to this point. We were crediting Joe Manchin and Sinema, of course, with keeping these things undone. Where are we with that? I mean, are we close to getting one of them passed?
No. We're deadlocked. Speaking of law jams, we're deadlocked. The radicals ain't budging.
Right. So it looks like you may get your wish anyway.
You're damn right. I mean, if there's a God in heaven, the United States will get their wish, because otherwise this is bad. Though Joe Biden says, hey, listen, forget about labor shortages. Forget about inflation. My bill is so important. The climate is so – he's using the climate. The climate is so important. We got to pass these bills. Listen to what he said.
We need to take a longer view, though, and invest in building greater resilience to withstand the kinds of shocks we've seen over and over, year in and year out, whether it's the pandemic, extreme weather, climate change. It also means companies throughout the supply chain, like maritime, air freight, and trucking companies, reduce their carbon emissions and help to meet our climate change goals.
So listen, the lack of trucks moving on the roads, they like that. No less carbon emissions. $5 a gallon gas, they like that. Less cars driving around. You're more reluctant, hesitant to drive. Do a trip if you're paying $5 a gallon gas. They like that. They like what's happening at the border. So I don't know if a lot of this is incompetence or if it's intentional. I just don't know. I don't trust any of them. And then Pelosi, of course, she was out there. The media asked her a question, and she says, hey, it's your job to sell this welfare state, the climate sector killing bill. Listen to this exchange.
Do you think you need to do a better job at messaging, and going forward, how do you sell this if ultimately you have to?
Well, I think you all could do a better job of selling it, to be very frank with you, because every time I come here, I go through the list, family and medical leave, climate, the issues that are in there. And but it is true. It is hard to break through when you have such a comprehensive package.
$3 billion for tree equity. So she's disappointed the media is not selling the bill, that it's unpopular with the American public. And it is. On CNN yesterday, this guy, John King, again, fake news CNN.
John King.
Remember this guy?
Well, I can tell you this. About 3 o'clock in the morning, Election Day, 2016, I'm in Washington, D.C. You remember this very, very well. And Donald Trump is about to pull off this major upset and beat Hillary Clinton. And I've got CNN on. And Wolf Blitzer goes to John King, who's standing at the board. And John King, for 30 minutes, desperately trying to figure out how Hillary Clinton can come back and win this, started talking about, well, these dentists and these doctors and these truck drivers, just completely desperate to find votes for Hillary Clinton. He was the guy that was on TV basically when they announced Donald Trump won, and Trump was about to hit the podium. And John King.
He was sobbing, wasn't he?
He was a mess.
Donald Trump. Yeah, he was all night long. He was at that board, the white
board. The whole time, yeah.
Well, there's still a chance down here in, let's see.
Right, if this teacher goes and votes tonight at 9:30, what are you talking
this
about?
This part of Southwest Michigan is still not in, so just keep your fingers crossed.
Well, you know who does that for Fox News is Bill Hemmer.
Yeah, he does a good job.
Yeah, he does a good job with that. And but so John King was a mess that night.
Yeah, but he does a good job, too, except that he's so partisan. In fact,
of course.
Yeah, on these two supposed infrastructure bill, again, the second one, the bigger one, is a complete and total transformation of this economy. It's so dangerous. But anyway, he reported on a poll. But listen to what he offers, the solution, similar to what Nancy Pelosi said. Listen to John King, the supposed trusted name in news on CNN. On these two bills.
Only 25%, 1 in 4, think if the Democrats pass this big bill, it's going to make my life better from day to day. Only 25% think that. A third say I'd be worse off. 43% say about the same. President has to do a better job selling how this would impact your life.
So the majority of people think that both bills will not improve their lives. In fact, a large part, again, 25%, think it will make it worse. And he says the Biden administration has to do a better job of selling it. No, I think if people knew what was in the bill, those numbers against those bills would be higher. Yeah, everybody wants bridges, roads, and all, but that first $1.5 trillion monstrosity itself, less than half of it goes to infrastructure. I hate to get so detailed, but this is really important stuff. It's going to change this country if we allow these people to get these things through. And again, inflation is so bad, so dangerous. Last half hour, I played Joe Rogan calling out Sanjay Gupta. Why did your network lie about ivermectin and calling it horse dewormer? It's been prescribed for billions of humans. And it was a great moment. But also, just to illustrate once again the fake news, as if we have to, Katie Couric, she wrote a book, and she writes in the book, she actually admits this, she used to have a show on Yahoo.com, Yahoo yep. Network, whatever yep. the hell it is.
Yep.
And in it, she interviewed Ruth Bader Ginsburg. And Ruth Bader Ginsburg weighed in on the national anthem kneeling, the protest, the NFL, all that stuff. And RBG actually said this during the Yahoo interview with Katie Couric. This is what she said. Anthem protests show a contempt for a government that has made it possible for their parents and grandparents to live a decent life, which they probably could not have lived in the places they came from. She said that, and guess what? Katie Couric edited it out from the interview. Edited it right the hell out.
Wow.
So we never heard about it. And but now we know that she said it. She wrote it in her book.
Good for her.
And the Daily Mail writes this. She says, Couric writes in her memoir that she thought the justice, who was 83 at the time, was elderly and probably didn't fully understand the question.
Oh, shut up, Katie.
She was a member of the Supreme Court, you idiot.
Everybody hates Katie Couric.
A sitting member of the Supreme Court. But
the story came out today, too, that Colin Kaepernick, the face of that ridiculous, hateful movement, he is telling everybody that he still expects to be back in the NFL. He wants to get the Vince Lombardi trophy one day, and he's up at 5 o'clock in the morning every day training to get back to the league. You keep doing that, Colin. You ain't getting back in this league, and I'm happy about it.
If nothing else, I guess he thinks, well, it keeps me healthy and in shape.
Yeah.
Yeah, he ain't getting there. There's no way he's coming.
No chance. That guy he's like 7 years removed from the game as it is. And the last time I saw him play, I think he won one game for the Niners one season. So
and you just talk about a radioactive individual.
Please.
And thank God for it, because there is some sanity maybe in this country.
Maybe. 1-800-848-W.
By the way, John Gruden will be coaching the Patriots before this guy gets back in the league.
And maybe Gruden will be the coach and Connell will be the quarterback. 800-848-9222. Dan Crenshaw, Eric Scheffler, Bill O'Reilly, Lydia Reports, and Beat Bernie. It's a very exciting Thursday edition of Bernie and Sid, and it's only right here on Talk Radio 77 WABC.
So long. Back here on the Bernie and Sid Show. Heard everywhere on that 77 WABC app. Simulcast out on Eastern Long Island, News Talk 107.1 FM. And live streamed at WABCRadio.com, folks. We're on TV and on the computer on this, Friday Eve, October 13th, ladies and gentlemen. Smack dab in the middle of October. It is a great time. I love it. What, 5 or 6 weeks away from Thanksgiving? I like that very much. Hey, listen, I was talking about all the these administration officials, how incompetent they are. You have the some of the big stories. The guy in Virginia whose daughter was raped by a boy in a skirt. They're covering that up. The school board is covering it up. It's still a huge, huge story. They use that guy as the face of domestic terrorism. But not so much. Look, back during when it happened in June, the racist lady on MSNBC, her name is Joyless Reed, and she actually said this when he was arrested. Now, remember, he was trying to tell the school board that his daughter was raped, and what have you done about it? I reported this to you. What have you done about it? They were having some conference about inclusion and transgenders, and that's what he wanted to do, and they cut him off because they knew what he was going to say, and this is how Joy Reid at the time reported it.
The fight to vilify critical race theory, occurring mostly within the confines of Twitter and Fox News, is now taking over school board meetings, in some cases turning into a literal fight. like what you see here in Loudoun County, Virginia, where a public meeting over lessons on race and a proposed policy on equity for transgender students devolved into mayhem, with audience members displaying aggressive behavior.
Yeah, aggressive behavior, because his daughter was raped by this this inclusion of, as you call it, transgender students. Idiot. That was in June, and we now know the real story. That guy was, he was raked through the coals. I mean, they made fun of his fat belly and all that stuff. And then the other, really, this incompetent Treasury Secretary, then they're going to spy on your $600 or more in your bank. They want to check out how you're spending your money. If you're a waiter, a waitress, and you're working off the books, for example, they're going to get you. This is what they're going to do. They're going after the little people. Anyway, Nora O'Donnell asked this Treasury Secretary a question, and she didn't answer it. Listen.
Does this mean that the government is trying to peek into our pocketbooks if you want to look at $600 transactions?
Absolutely not. The proposal involves no reporting of individual transactions. We have a tax gap that over the next decade is estimated at $7 trillion, namely a shortfall in the amount that IRS is collecting due to a failure of individuals to report the income that they've earned.
So we're not going to look at your bank accounts over $600, but right. But we have a shortfall. We have a bunch of tax deadbeats out there. So what's the implication? Well, we're going to look at your bank accounts and find out who these tax deadbeats are on the Bernie and Sid Show. Bill O'Reilly, Congressman Dan Crenshaw. We're coming right back.
We are New York. Bernie and Sid in the morning. Talk Radio 77. WABC.
So caught up in you, little girl. 7:05 on your Thursday morning. Song makes me horny. I don't know why. Anyway, not for that. I was talking about all the great Maimonides events that the ballpark we have done over the last couple of months. And I do have to say, not again, suck it up to the boss, but the Margo first pitch event was a magnificent, magnificent event. Not just the fact that Margo threw a strike reminiscent of George Bush, 9/11, post-9/11 at the Yankee Diamondback World Series game in the Bronx, but the list of dignitaries that showed up that day, and we had a press conference afterwards upstairs on the sun deck at Maimonides Ballpark, and it was just an amazing, amazing day. All the former Mets showed up, guys like Dwight Gooden, Art Chamsky, John Franco. So that, and Bodito, that was a great day as well. Margo did a terrific job, and that was a great day, too. Last night was beautiful. Once again, congratulations to our friends, and they do advertise a lot on this station, Maimonides Medical Center, all of them. Heshy Organbaum, congrats, did a beautiful job. Michael Brincott, Game Mike, really a spectacular job. Margaret Josephs and Dolores from the Real Housewives of New Jersey, both did a tremendous job. All the doctors and nurses, and most importantly, all of the brave and courageous ladies, breast cancer survivors, all looked beautiful last night as they walked the runway. Very inspiring event and a beautiful job. My third consecutive year at this event, one that I'm very, very proud of. So congratulations to Maimonides Medical Center and all the folks who made this a huge success last night. It was fun to be there. It was very nice. Very, very nice.
Except you're dying this morning.
I'm dying, yes.
Yeah.
No, I actually feel pretty good. I'm shocked that I don't feel worse. Now, tomorrow it may be worse, because now tonight's my second consecutive night out. I'll be hosting a GOP event in Nassau, much like the event I went to last Monday when they honored John Catsimatidis at that beautiful Crest Hollow Country Club out by Woodbury. This one tonight, I think, is at a place called Cars and Cigars. Or Cigars and Cars?
I don't
Freeport.
Know, sounds like a fun spot.
Yeah, it's a cool spot.
Cars and Cigars.
They got Cars and Cigars. So, but here's the funniest part about it.
And a liquor bar.
And a liquor bar.
Throw that in there.
And they'll be the same folks as last week. Ann Donnelly, I'm sure, will be there. And Bruce Blakeman will be there. And all these folks running for local office on Long Island. But the funniest part about this event, I'm talking to Todd and Liz Shapiro yesterday, and I've got a co-host, I guess, tonight. And my co-host, you're not going to believe this, is Butch Patrick. So when I say the name Butch Patrick to you, Bernard, do you have any idea who I'm talking about?
I go back to the Munsters.
There you go.
Exactly.
68-year-old Eddie Munster is my co-host tonight.
Are you kidding? Really?
I'm making more money than he is.
Are you serious?
I swear to God.
Oh, I can't.
Eddie Munster, Butch Patrick.
I want to see a picture of this guy.
Is he like a big conservative on Long Island? I mean,
this is the first time I've heard of Butch Patrick in 20 years.
I know. I can't believe you got that right. That's unbelievable.
Well, no, I remember the name. Yeah, the show was, I watched it at the time.
I love that show. I liked that show a lot more than the Addams Family. Personally, I did. Fred Gwynn, who was also brilliant, of course, and my cousin Vinny, was one of my favorite TV actors ever. His portrayal of Herman Munster was beautiful.
Yeah, no, it was funny. It was
great.
But they were both good. They were both campy and, you know, it was just
fun. Yeah, Adam was a little weird for me. John Astin was like a little weird for me. I don't know. Fred Gwynn was more kind of kooky and more of a relatable for me. But they were both good. You're right. But I kind of like the Munsters.
Poor Fred Gwynn, he passed away.
Yeah, many years ago.
Right?
Yeah. But Butch Patrick will be out there tonight for this event, and I'm looking forward to it.
Yvonne DiCarlo.
Yes.
She was Mrs. Munster.
Yes, she was.
And she was a very attractive woman, despite the makeup and all that stuff, making her look ghoulish.
She was very pretty.
And so was Mrs. Adams, as
Yeah, forget her name. Remember her name, Justin? He wouldn't know. The Addams Family movie is out now, I think, right? The second one. What was Morticia?
Was it Carolyn Jones?
I believe that's the case.
That's right.
John Antis played the husband. I think that was his name. Always had those smoker jackets on. And now Pugsley, that was the Addams Family.
That was Tuesday and Pugsley. Was it Tuesday or Wednesday?
I think it was Tuesday.
Tuesday.
I forget, too. Maybe Wednesday. I don't know. No, Tuesday and Pugsley was the Addams Family.
That's right.
And Cousin It was the Addams Family.
You know, fun
and Lurch was the Addams Family.
You know, fun fact about Morticia Adams.
Yeah.
When she was doing that role, she actually hated the dress because she could barely breathe. So after she finished doing those roles, she actually destroyed the entire dress. There was not a trace of it left.
Is that right? And this is why your podcast, Mike Garcia, is one of the top rated in the country tidbits like that.
This is a young man, 30. I think he's 31 years old.
Mike, yeah.
And he's all over. He's all over the Munsters. Morticia. Oh, excuse me, the Addams Family. What a name, though. Morticia Addams. That's so funny. I had forgotten that was her name, yeah. No, so it was good stuff back in the day.
It was good stuff back in the day, so we'll see you out on Long Island tonight. And, of course, me and Bernie have been, especially Bernie, because he lives there and knows Todd Kominsky. So, obviously, we want you to do, which is vote for Ann Donnelly and the rest of those folks. And I'll be out there later on tonight, once again, pushing that. And then, so between last night and tonight, today I'm surprisingly okay. But I think by tomorrow, I'll be dead. But it's Friday.
Yeah, so it's a good day to be dead.
Good day to be dead. The weekend is right there.
You can You can lay down in your pine box over the weekend. Speaking of the Addams Family and the Munsters, it is going to be nice.
It's gonna be like 80 degrees and sunny on Saturday. So,
is that
I believe a 77? I think through Saturday,
I heard.
Then it gets real chilly starting Sunday. But today, tomorrow and Saturday, highs around 77, 78, lots of sunshine, and then the real fall season starts Sunday, just in time for the Giants and the Rams out in New Jersey, which I'm not going to.
No, should you. You got to chill, bro. You got to say no at some point. Hey, you and I remarked on this yesterday, which was that the Boston Bomber
case, Sarnoff,
it's actually in front of the Supreme Court. I mean, why this guy hasn't been,
Well, the case is not in front of the Supreme Court. It's the death penalty.
Well, that's what I'm talking
about. That's what they're arguing, right. Yeah. I mean, he's guilty, but they're arguing whether or not he should be put to death. I'm not sure why there's even an argument.
Exactly right. That's my question. Why he hasn't been, we should have beheaded this guy.
Oh, please.
Publicly a long time
ago. I'm still
mad
at Rolling Stone magazine for that angelic cover photo of him many, many years ago.
Well, you know who you should be mad at also, and I've mentioned this many times, because they have dropped the ball so many times, they've become so political that they don't solve real crimes or prevent real crimes, is the FBI.
Oh, yeah, sure.
They were on the FBI's radar for a long time, these Tsarnaev brothers.
Yeah.
And yet, a little kid was blown up with a crock pot.
8 years old.
Yeah. Because the FBI dropped the ball once again.
They knew the older brother, and I forget his name now. He was really the catalyst behind this. The other kid who's waiting on death row, he was the younger brother, and he followed along. He should be killed, too. The older brother, of course, was shot by police, and then the younger brother ran him over with the car that Thursday night. But they knew the older brother had gone back and forth to Chechnya and was in East Russia.
They were monitoring.
They knew all of it.
Yes, exactly.
That he was, you know, basically becoming a radical Islamist, going back and forth to that part of the world, and at some point was going to wreak havoc here in the United States, and sure enough, he did exactly that.
So apparently Justice Kavanaugh almost got into a fist fight with Justice Kagan as they were arguing, as they were asking questions, they were interrupting each other, and it was quite the show. But back to the FBI, and their many, many shortcomings, was they still haven't come up with a motive for the Las Vegas massacre.
Oh, God, Stephen Paddock, that guy.
You had all those gymnasts being molested and raped while they're pursuing some crazy, stupid, patently fake dossier in Russia. I mean, it's just the FBI is just a bad, bad organization.
That was
James Comey should be in prison.
He should be, James Comey and a bunch of those guys. But you just mentioned that Vegas thing. I mean, that was awful. And nothing, we know nothing about it.
Nothing.
Nothing.
No, good job, FBI. But we know that, I don't know, we know that, what's his name, the Greek guy. Whatever.
The
Greek guy that worked for Trump. He was such a marginal figure. I forget
his name.
That
guy, Papalopoulos or something?
Yeah. We know he got charged with some ridiculous thing.
So stupid.
Yeah. They spent all their time and resources political stuff.
Mike Flynn. I mean, all these guys. What a waste of time.
Exactly.
Paul Manafort is like, poor bastard. Remember Paul Manafort?
It was like a D-Day invasion. Of FBI agents, helicopters.
Roger Stone, they came down like it was like Pablo Escobar.
Exactly. Yeah. And meanwhile, these fundamental cases, which could have been solved, prevented, in this case, the Boston bombing, the FBI just completely dropped the ball.
And there are many others. There's a million of them.
And plus, they helped execute, helped plot some of these crimes, the kidnapping of Gretchen Whitmer. They were in on the plot. Without them, there would have been no kidnap plot to actually kidnap Gretchen Whitmer. Same thing with the...
By the way, she's the governor of Michigan, for folks who aren't sure who she is. But go ahead.
The same with the... there was another terrorist attack in Texas. Same thing. FBI agent was in on it. I think he half-drove the terrorists to the site to shoot up a church full of people. That's my only point is that.
Oh, you're talking about Dylann Roof?
No. So another.
Okay.
Islamic terrorist attack.
Oh, Islamic terrorist attack. Yeah.
Which the kid would not have perpetrated had not the FBI egged him on. Is my point.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
So they suck. They allow little girls to be molested while they go after guys like Papadopoulos and, of course, Donald Trump, and turn the country upside down for 3 years on something they knew was false. And meanwhile, nobody pays the price.
No, nobody does. We got three great guests stopping by this morning, mostly later on in this program, 840 Bill O'Reilly, 905 Congressman Dan Crenshaw makes his debut on the Bernie and Sid in the Morning Show, 925 the president of the Staten Island baseball team, excited that we have a real name today, Eric Scheffler. He's going to stop by. 825 is Lydia Reports, and of course, coming up at 940, your chance to win $100 and a WABC Barry House coffee mug, all compliments of Pete Morgan and Peerless Borders. We call it Beat Bernie. All that's still to come on this exciting Thursday edition of Bernie and Sid.
Listen to your favorite shows live and on demand. Enable the 77 WABC Alexa skill today. Tell Alexa.
Play 77 WABC.
Young girl, get out of my mind. My love for you is way out of line.
Yeah, but the next line should have been, yeah, but I don't want to do any time, young girl. But that was cool back then. Even... what's his name? What was it? Ringo Starr?
You're 16, you're beautiful, and you're mine.
Yeah,
look, even CNN is playing the Joe Rogan, Sanjay Gupta. Their own network is playing.
Well, he's their guy, Sanjay Gupta, right?
I know, but you would figure they'd shy away from it because Joe Rogan called out CNN for being,
Well, they're probably maligning Joe Rogan.
Right, I'm sure they're twisting it in some
twisting
way.
It and saying, Joe Rogan's a loudmouth and an idiot, and this is what they sound like. Here you go.
Well,
I'm sure.
We played it a little earlier. We'll play it again. Joe Rogan did call out Sanjay Gupta on CNN's fake news, in particular regarding ivermectin. In fact, we'll play it in a few minutes. But in the meantime, as you know, may or may not have heard, the Bolshevik Bill de Blasio administration has taken out the statue of Thomas Jefferson.
You know that statue was actually there for 187 years. 187 years, and this idiot is taking the statue out.
How disgusting, huh? I mean,
well, he's getting out. Just get him out. Leave the statue. Get rid of him.
It's exactly the same thing, the same mentality with the Christopher Columbus.
Yeah,
and of course, Thomas Jefferson, he owned slaves, but what was alleged against Christopher Columbus, Thomas Jefferson didn't even come near what was alleged about Christopher Columbus.
I know.
Though I'm not saying that Christopher Columbus was that he did things wrong. It was a different time. He was a hero. I've said that a million times. But he was fighting these indigenous people, quote unquote.
Yeah.
They were brutal people as well.
They were brutal people.
They were killing each other. Human sacrifices. And they were killing Columbus's people, so it was a clash of civilizations. And Columbus's side won.
I will say this: Curtis Sliwa, our choice for mayor, who again we just saw at the parade on Monday, he is out there fighting the cause for these statues. And he had a very good idea. I like the idea of putting one of those Christopher Columbus statues that they removed on Staten Island. I mean, that borough is loaded with Italians. I mean, who lives on Staten Island? Let's be honest. They're either mobsters, wannabe mobsters, witness protection people, or who else? That's it.
I wouldn't go that far.
All right. Maybe that's a bit
of a stretch. I mean, Joe Tacopina is going to be calling us any second now. What are you doing stereotyping my people like that?
Who would say that?
Tacopina.
Tacopina's moved on from that.
Oh,
he wants a role in Gravesend. He wants a role in Gemini Lounge. All of a sudden now, The Sopranos is a brilliant television show because he wants to be an actor. See what happens? All the scruples and all that stuff go out the door when you want to be on a television show.
So has Eric Adams come out and said, I will put back that Thomas Jefferson statue in City Hall? I know Curtis Lee would.
Yes. Eric Adams come out and said, anything about anything?
Well, he's issued statements.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, he's been MIA. He's like Kamala Harris. Nobody can find her. He's like it's like the old days. Where's Hunter? Well, where's Eric? We don't know. But they will be debating, by the way, Curtis and
20th.
A week from last night.
That's right. The first debate is the 20th, and I believe the second debate is the 26th. Before November 2nd election.
So in another real woke supremacist move, a Seattle school has canceled its annual Halloween parade. They called it the Pumpkin Parade.
Why?
They say it quote-unquote marginalizes students of color.
Why?
One of the reasons they gave is that some students of color can't afford a Halloween costume, is one of the things they said. I mean, these people.
So now poverty is exclusively black people. There are no poor white people left in this country? Because I know I travel a lot of states. I've been to just about every state in this country, and I've seen a lot of really poor white people. A lot of really poor white people.
You know what they're going to do? They're going to replace it. They're going to recognize the season by participating in activities like, quote, a thematic study of fall, unquote. Humorless, woke supremacists. I mean, you think the kids want a pumpkin day parade?
That's all they want.
I mean, come on, maybe we're witnessing a turnaround because with the school board, the moms, and all this stuff. It has to be that these people are just people are becoming aware how just lunatic they are.
I don't see that.
Crazy.
I know you say that. I don't see that at all.
I hope
I hope it happens. You say, I mean, we're witnessing nothing. We're witnessing more and more of this.
Do you think some black kid in the Seattle elementary school?
No, I don't, Bernie.
Do you think he doesn't want to have the pumpkin parade
over
a thematic a study of fall?
I don't, but don't tell me we're witnessing a turnaround when they just canceled this parade yesterday. We're not witnessing anything. We're witnessing these people pushing their agenda. You're hoping there's going to be a turnaround. We're not witnessing anything. We're witnessing more and more of this craziness day after day. We just had two stories. De Blasio removed Jefferson statue. Seattle canceled Halloween. What are we witnessing? We're witnessing craziness.
Well, I'll tell you what. Here's some sanity for you. Look, they're still on the Joe Rogan thing. So we're going to play it here. This is Joe Rogan took ivermectin. He had the COVID. He took ivermectin. He was better in like 4 days. And he championed it. He talked about it. Meanwhile, the boxer Oscar De La Hoya, he had been vaccinated. He was half dying in the hospital from COVID.
Yeah.
And Rogan, no vaccine, took the ivermectin, got fine, and it just triggered the hell out of all the lefties, all the fake news people, the Coward Stearns, the Jimmy Kimmels, the late night guys. They killed him. He's taking horse medicine, this guy, this nutcake, Joe Rogan. Anyway, CNN, too, led the charge on that. Joe Rogan had CNN's Dr. Sanjay Gupta on the show, who we've had as a guest many times on our show back in the day, and he called him out on it. And it was a pleasure to listen. It was a beautiful thing to listen to. Take a listen.
But don't you think that a lie like that is dangerous on a news network when you know that they know they're lying? You know that they know that I took medicine. Like, here it is. This is ivermectin.
You got
this
it right you. Here.
Do you think that that's a problem, that your news network lies?
Well, I don't.
Dude.
What did they say?
They
dude,
lied
what did they
and
say
said I was taking horse dewormer. First of all, it was prescribed to me by a doctor.
Yeah. You got it from a doctor, so that it shouldn't be called that. Ivermectin can be a very effective medication for parasitic disease. Can I just come back to the one I want to talk about? Two things
you
on
have
the ledger.
To, you have, before we get to that, does it bother you that the news network you work for out and out lied?
Well,
just outright lied about me taking horse dewormer.
They shouldn't have said that.
Why did they do that?
I don't know.
You didn't ask? You're the medical guy over there.
I didn't ask. I should have asked before.
But they did it with
podcast.
Such glee.
No, Joe.
I watched.
Yeah, listen, sometimes you have to do that with a guest. I mean, it's uncomfortable. It's awkward.
It wasn't his fault. I mean,
but it wasn't his fault. But again,
it's guilt by association, I guess.
No. But he asked the question, why didn't you challenge them?
Yeah.
Why didn't you ask? Why didn't you say what you're saying to me right now?
Like, maybe I should have asked.
Say something for your own integrity's sake. I don't know. Anyway, that was beautiful. Joe Rogan, good for you. God bless Joe Rogan. The voice of the UFC, by the way, in addition to being a very, very, the most successful podcast hoster in the nation, I would say he tops Adam Carolla, I believe.
Oh, he is now. Yeah. I believe so. Yeah.
Bellas in the back, sweet singers in the front, cruising down the freeway in the hot, hot sun. Suddenly red blue lights flash us from behind, loud voice booming, please step out onto the line. Bella Bridge was a comfort, Cena just hides her eyes, policeman taps the shades, is that a Chevy 69? How bizarre.
How bizarre. 7:41. On your beautiful Thursday morning, it's going to be sunny today. The sun is starting to come out now, in fact, and we'll hit temperatures close to 80, 77 degrees today. What's going on with Bernie? You've got this, that liner there to Back to Blue. Got a big event coming up.
Yes, 77 WABC and Ramsey Mazda, Back to Blue. Join us Thursday, October 21st, as we give a heartfelt and much-deserved thank you to law enforcement officers across the nation. 77 WABC and Ramsey Mazda, Back to Blue. We Back to Blue here every day on 77 WABC. But Thursday, October 21st, in particular, next week, it's going to be a big day.
Yeah, we put together this beautiful press conference right outside on 3rd Avenue. You may remember last week. to celebrate Hispanic Heritage Day.
I do.
They're going to do the same thing with the cops next week.
Right. Again, we did it last year as well.
Yes, yeah. But it was a little smaller. We had the podium right outside the studio.
Now they
really build this big, beautiful event, which will take place next Thursday. So that is coming up. Bernie, you said a couple times, the old days of the Bernie and Sid show, we used to bring on a lot of celebrity guests, a lot. Kevin Costner, Cyndi Lauper, all the cast members of Facts of Life. In fact, Jill Welchel, she's been on two or three times. Kim Fields had the best time of her life on this show. Yeah. She loved
also,
it.
Also, what's her name? The Nanny.
Fran Drescher was on a couple of times. And we had
the singer, what's her name?
Cyndi Lauper.
Cyndi Lauper.
Steve Perry. But we had a ton of actors and actresses. I don't remember all of them, but they were on all the time. We had the big fight with Dave Navarro.
You mentioned Kevin Costner earlier.
Yep, he was on a couple of times, actually, Kevin. So that was something we did, and we need to get back to doing that. You know, Jennifer Grodd, whoever's in charge of booking this show. Don't get me wrong. You know, Dan Crenshaw is great. O'Reilly's great. But Morning Show New York City, we need to do more of that stuff. So, anyway, one of the guests that we used to have on all the time was Howie Mandel, and I'll tell you why. Bernie and I were there day one of the Hard Rock in Atlantic City. Jim Allen is a longtime friend of mine and Bo Dietl. And Jim Allen ran the Hollywood Hotel in Hollywood, Florida, the Hard Rock. And when I lived down in Boca Raton, I did shows working out of Miami for Jim Allen at the Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino before they had the guitar in Hollywood all the time. So obviously when Jim came up to New Jersey and opened up the Hard Rock in Atlantic City, I was the guy he contacted, me and Bo. Next thing you know, they've got a mainstay on this show. I'm doing sports shows out there on Sundays. They're spending a ton of money, and it was a great, short-lived, but great relationship. They named the comedy club at the Hard Rock in Atlantic City after Howie Mandel.
I remember.
So he used to come on with us, and you know, we weren't very sure about Howie, how that was going to go.
Well, he's a little bit of a D word.
A little bit of a douchebag. Yeah.
Sick.
Yeah, a little bit of that, too.
A little
right.
bit of that. A little bit.
But he was pretty good with us. And for some reason, he kept wanting to come back. I don't know why. Well, I never felt like it was great.
He wanted to promote his stuff.
So there's a story about Howie yesterday that he's at a Starbucks in Los Angeles with his wife and a bunch of friends. And he grabs his coffee, Howie Mandel. And the next thing you know, I think he's on AGT still, right? He's one of the stars there. Right. It was at one point, it was two Howies there, him and Howard Stern. I didn't watch it for Howie Mandel. So he grabs his coffee yesterday, and then, boom, he hits the floor. Faints. He's out. He's done. He's unconscious.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And they're like, oh, my God, did he just have a heart attack and die? He didn't. As it turns out, he got the bill. And he actually hit the floor. Now, that's not true, but I guess he was dehydrated. So he fainted and hit the floor. But when I say he got the bill, I'm not kidding, because I'm a guy that does frequent these coffee stores, whether it's Starbucks, Dunkin' Donuts. I go to all these places. And I go to Starbucks every day before I go to the gym, New York Sports Club. And I'll buy myself a grande low-fat cappuccino with one shot of vanilla syrup, four Splendors, and it's like six-something dollars.
Yay.
So I'm going to the store with you and a couple of friends, I can spend $25 on coffee.
Well, it's the vanilla syrup that does it.
That's a lot of money?
Yeah.
It's like a dollar.
It's like a delicacy.
No, it's not. $5 for the cup of coffee anyway.
I know, but I'm saying I guarantee if you don't do the shot of vanilla syrup, you're axing off a good $1.50.
$1.50? Okay. But I happen to love the vanilla syrup, but the point is...
Wait a second. But you're a high roller. I mean, what's the...
Nah, not that high of a roller. I don't want to spend that much money on coffee. I love the coffee.
You can't be sweating $1.50 for vanilla syrup. If you want the vanilla syrup, you get the vanilla syrup.
Right. I'm not going to stop getting it, to Justin's point, but for a guy like Justin, for example, they're shutting off the electricity. He's got nothing. No cable TV, no refrigerator, nothing, because he went to Starbucks two or three days in a row. I mean, I'm being serious.
You know what he could do?
What?
Stop going to Starbucks.
I know.
And they make, you can buy a Keurig machine.
Which I've got. I've got the Starbucks Keurigs, too.
And you can buy instant coffee if you want. I mean, if you really need it.
Okay. You know what it is?
You have options.
You do have options.
You want to squander your money to go to Starbucks and get some fancy focaccia.
It's stupid. I know. But for me, it's almost like an event. And I know all the people there, all the baristas, all the girls. In fact, the other day I walked into the Starbucks on Broadway, and I'd never seen this girl before. And I think I told you this story, the whole Wendy Williams story.
I'm not sure.
It's a young black girl, and I pay the bill, and she gives me my coffee, and I'm walking out this door, and she said, excuse me, excuse me. And I said, yes. She said, this is going to sound like a crazy question, but I think I saw you on Wendy Williams' TV show last year. And I'm like, yeah, that's me. I'm that guy. So for me, it's like a whole, it's an event. It's a daily gathering of coffee, friends. So I actually need that. But it's very bougie. I understand that. It's very, very bougie. Like, you don't do stuff like that.
The only time I go to Starbucks is in the summer. I love the iced coffee.
Oh, you do?
With a shot or two of espresso.
You like that?
Love it.
Well, how come only during the summer, though?
Because in the winter, I don't need ice coffee. And I don't even normally go. But, if I'm in the streets of Manhattan or somewhere,
yeah,
and I want to pick me up and it's hot, iced coffee with a shot of espresso.
Now, what was the name of that guy? He was the CEO, and he was actually considering running for president, I think in 16, not 20.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Howard.
Right.
He's Jewish guy.
He's no longer the CEO.
He's no longer running for president either. I guess the guy made so much money, he's good to go.
He's good. He's gone.
Do you go to Dunkin' Donuts? So you don't do that either?
No. I mean, I guess I could if I wanted a nice coffee. But like I say, I have the Keurig machine. The machines here, I see people right here at the station. They go outside to go to Starbucks. We have a nice Keurig machine
We
there.
Do, and we've got, and not only do we have a nice Keurig machine here, and again, I'm guilty of going to Starbucks in the afternoon too, but we've got the Barry House coffee here, which is delicious.
And whatever, it's free. And yet these people are, you know, I'm sure they're not that well off. They're going down there and spending $5 a pop for a cup of coffee. I mean, it makes no sense. The Barry House coffee or some of the other traditional brands, they're just as good. Give me a nice dark roast and a Keurig machine, and I'm good. That's it. I'm fine.
But like I said, for me, the people in the store. You know, I started thinking the other day about all the money I waste, just wasteful money. Like for example, going to Starbucks. That's wasteful money. Yep. Like you said, get a Keurig.
And by the way, all that stuff that you're buying there, that's like Joe Gordio is going to come in tomorrow and yell at you.
Peter Gordio, excuse me.
That is, the calories involved. Yeah. It's like eating an ice cream cone.
It really is.
It's unbelievable.
He's actually in my head now. Every time I eat something that I know that's not good, Peter Gordio is in my head. But I had this conversation with Bo Dietl last week. Bo's like, I know Peter Gordio for 40 years. You're coming to Rao's, you're having meatballs, you're having spaghetti. Tell Peter to calm down, okay? No one wants, what is more boring than, and I happen to agree with Bo, I told Peter that right to his face last week. I want to look good. I'm as narcissistic and crazy about that stuff as anybody, but I'm not going to stop eating fun food because I may put on a pound or two. That's ridiculous. I mean, for me, food, sex, these are the things that make life great. I'm not going to take it away because I may gain 3 pounds. So in that respect, I disagree with Peter. I'm not going to have egg white omelets preparing them at 4 o'clock in the morning every day.
Well, you're
that's
not going to look like him either. I mean, you look great.
It's close enough. close enough.
He's ripped. He's ripped right down to his abs.
He is,
and that's where that stuff contributes to your lack of abs.
Well, yeah, but I don't have stomach fat, and that's where guys like our age, that stomach fat, that becomes very, very dangerous. That's a killer, by the way.
I know.
So I don't have abs. You're not going to see my chest on the cover of Muscle and Fitness, but I don't have stomach fat. And that's the one thing, you don't have that at all. You have no fat in your body. But that's the one thing guys our age have to worry about, even younger guys, like Alec. Alec, you have stomach fat.
Oh, you betcha.
Why are you so fat? What do you eat?
It's not that I do it. I don't eat on schedule. So I really don't eat breakfast. And I usually don't eat lunch until 1
what
or 2 o'clock
Russian,
in the afternoon.
What does your hot Russian girlfriend make for you, like when she cooks dinner, for example?
When she cooks dinner for me, she actually cooks pretty healthy. She'll cook me, a nice whole wheat pasta, maybe with some grilled chicken and some pesto.
Listen, Alec doesn't look like he's done a push-up in a year, to be quite honest with you. I mean, am I right?
Yeah, no, you're dead right.
He's a good-looking kid. He looks like Jake Gyllenhaal.
He is. He's a handsome kid. But
but he's not in great shape.
But a lot of these kids around here, they work here.
Oh, they're all fat.
They're all fat.
Even the kid here now, this morning, he's a nice kid, but he could afford to lose a couple of pounds.
Woefully out of shape is the way I would describe the youth of WABC radio.
Is that what millennials do now?
Seems to be the case. Like, they just don't care. I mean, I guess they think they're going to live forever or something.
Is that what it is?
You and I are looking at, the mortality is the realization of our mortality has set in, and we're trying to fight it off.
We really are.
But these, they, you know, when you're young like that, I guess. But even when I was that age, I was still a maniac. I mean, I was a I went to the YMCA in Ghetto Square in Yonkers.
Well, you always have been.
Many, many years.
I wasn't. I spent my time partying. I mean, I was out there drinking, doing
drugs.
I did too.
But I
didn't work out. I started working out when I was like 40. I had to rehab.
I had to earn it. And even when I was partying back in the day like that, I would never do Friday and Saturday night. It was either or, Friday or Saturday.
You're such a disciplined drunk. It's gorgeous.
I know. But that's how I justified it, rationalized it.
I would only do it Friday because I was nervous if I started partying Saturday, I wouldn't make it to Monday. My issue was I would start Friday, and I still wouldn't make it to Monday.
I would want to kill myself if I Friday and Saturday, and you wake up on Sunday, and then you don't recover till like Thursday, for God's sake.
When I was on the 14th floor of that hotel room in Cleveland, and we had this story with the rabbi and the
yes, I didn't mean literally kill myself, but I really did. I know it's true
because that was the situation. I started partying in Cleveland on a Friday night, and by Sunday morning, I'm like, I'm done. And when I went to pull out more in my pocket, instead, I pulled out a keychain with a picture of Ava, she was one at the time, that saved my life. So, but I was there, and know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, the worst thing in the world is you're being all, you know, zonked out and wired up, and the sun is coming up, and people are going to work.
People are going to work, and they're outside, like, jogging and stuff. They're walking their dogs, and I'm like, will you tape those sheets to the window?
You really feel like a big lowlife at that point.
A lowlife, absolutely. So anyway, but these kids don't do that. Justin doesn't do that. Kevin doesn't do that. Mike doesn't do that. They're good kids. They're just
To Bernie's point, a couple weeks ago, I played sports in college, so I spent, you know, 2-3 years in college squatting 300 plus pounds.
See, really?
Yeah.
See, a lot of I've said this before. Kids who have played high school and college sports, they're more likely, in my opinion, not to exercise later in life to work out because they think, I did it in school and I'm done with it. Well, whereas people like you and me who didn't play college sports and stuff like that, we're of a different mentality.
Talking about college sports, maybe the greatest college football player of all time gained more points with me, and I'm sure Bernie too, yesterday. We'll get to that story. The great Herschel Walker, lots more to do. Three great guests, Lydia Reports, Beat Bernie, all that is still to come. A very exciting Thursday edition of Bernie and Sid. I used to love this girl, Susanna Hoffs, The Bangles, Eternal Flame. So my daughter Ava, maybe she was 4, and I used to drive her to school. I used to drive her at one point, believe it or not. Good, very good driver. I used to drive her to school in Boca Raton, and we had 2 or 3 songs that she'd always want me to play. She'd be, Daddy, can you play this song? One was How to Save a Life by The Fray. One was some Van Morrison song. And then this one, Eternal Flame by The Bangles. And she would sit in the back seat of the car, and at the top of her lungs, she would sing this song. And then I would drop her off at school, and she'd give me a big hug and a kiss. And she'd say, I love you, Daddy. And that's when she liked me. That was like 13 years ago.
Some of my favorite memories are driving in the car with the kids.
Oh, the best.
Singing along to songs like that.
Yeah. Now it's like, why are you playing that song? Shut up, Dad. Shut up. I'll be quiet.
Yeah, well,
She used to sing with me, and
she'll come back around.
She will.
Yeah, that's the way of the world.
She's having a good week this week.
All daughters are
all like that.
The majority are. Okay. Yes, they have their rebellious teen years, and then they come back.
Okay, my son is an angel. In fact, I'm going to take him today to meet Joseph Abood at Men's Warehouse and pick out his suit for his bar mitzvah, which is very, very exciting for Gabriel. Very exciting.
That's cool.
Such a good boy. As your son is. You have a beautiful young man and a beautiful young lady
He
as
did
well.
His time like a man and
excuse me?
What happened?
All right, coming up next hour, we Lydia Reports will be here. Lydia Serrano coming up at 8:25. And then, of course, the highlight of the week, Bill O'Reilly, going to be here at 8:40. 9 o'clock, a very exciting hour. 9:05, Dan Crenshaw. 9:25, Mr. Scheffler from the Staten Island baseball team. And 9:40, Beat Bernie. That's a pretty cool 2 hours about to come your way on the best talk show in the country. We are Bernie and Sid. Back here on the Bernie and Sid Show, heard everywhere on that 77 WABC app. Simulcast out on Eastern Long Island, News Talk 107.1 FM. Also, live stream at WABCRadio.com. Ladies and gentlemen, we are on TV, on your smart TVs or your computer. Speaking of sugar, sugar, honey, honey, it just reminded me to pull this out here. The brown sugar thing, the Rolling Stones.
They won't play anymore.
They're not going to play Brown Sugar anymore. And yesterday we were like, "What? What are you doing?" It's like the Rolling Snowflakes is what they are. Yeah. I mean, you know, come on. It was a great song. And what are you pulling back for? You got all the money in the world.
Did you change your mind or something?
Well, I decided. To look up
the lyrics.
The lyrics.
It's about slavery.
Right now, see, right. I had forgotten about that. As a matter of fact. I never even knew these words. I guess I never understood what the hell Mick Jagger was talking about. Here is the opening of the opening of Brown Sugar. Gold Coast slave ship bound for cotton fields sold in a market down in New Orleans. Now, I always knew sold in a market down in New Orleans, but I never could understand the first line. Never bothered to try to find out, but that's what it is. A slave ship bound for cotton fields.
Okay, but
now, wait, let me finish.
Okay, in other words.
Scarred old slaver knows he's doing all right. Did you know that he was saying scarred old slaver?
In other words. Do the song. Damn song.
One more. Hear him whip the women just around midnight. I didn't know he was saying that. Hear him whip the women just around midnight.
I know. Right. It is a bit rough. Don't get me wrong. So now you're okay. I still think they should do the song.
Listen, I do too.
It's been around for 30-40 years.
He played Brown Sugar. He played whatever it was, Honey Honey. And I had the lyrics, and I decided to pull them out and edify the people as to why Mick Jagger was so shaky on it. I mean, yesterday I didn't realize. I thought, Brown Sugar. I mean, Robert De Niro loves his Brown Sugar.
Right,
I mean, this is great stuff. Black women are beautiful. I mean, come on. But I didn't realize, again... that this was
it's slavery. It's a rough song.
That's the opening. You know, lyrics right there.
It is funny how we always go to Robert De Niro. Is he that white guy that loves black ladies? Is he? I mean, he's always been with black women. I understand that. I think he's been with white women as well. I believe, but he's like the go-to guy. De Niro. You like a black woman? You're white. Robert De Niro.
Well, yeah, he is the go-to guy. I can't think of too many others. Well, there was one guy. Who the hell was he? He was Stone Phillips. Stone Phillips. He was an NBC
news
anchor. He's married to a beautiful black lady. Yeah,
really.
And
only black women. That was it. That's all. Stone
I don't
Phillips.
Know. And all I know is he had a black wife.
Interesting.
You know, whatever.
There's a million black guys married to white girls.
You know who's also the comedian? He's a very funny guy from Boston. This comedian. He's
Bill Burr.
Bill Burr.
Yeah, love him.
Married to a black girl.
Is that right?
Yeah.
There you go.
And that's all I can conjure up in my head.
He was married to Marissa Tomei in the true story with Pete Davidson about Pete Davidson's father, who was a firefighter who died on 9/11. And he played a great part in that movie.
King of Staten Island.
What's that?
King of Staten Island.
King of Staten Island, that's right.
Well, he likes that brown sugar.
He does.
Just like Robert.
No, be careful. That's slavery.
No,
that's not just black
sugar,
ladies.
Brown Sugar's fine, I think it's the lyrics more than the title of the song.
Well, they're not doing it anymore, so that's it. That's the end of that.
Hear him whip the women just around midnight. You know how many times I sung along to that? Had no idea what I was singing.
You thought it was like S&M. You thought it was S&M. Right, S&M with the women.
I didn't even need, the word whip didn't even occur to me.
Didn't even occur to you.
No, just around midnight is the only part of that sentence that I understood. So anyway, you have that.
Miranda Devine is writing about what I brought to you a couple of days ago, which was she has a picture of the guy who went to the Virginia School Board. It was like gender, diversity, inclusion day, transgender day. And he went to the school board, did this guy in June, to try to tell them that one of your transgenders, some boy in a skirt, raped my daughter in the bathroom. And I told you guys this, and you haven't done anything about it yet. And you're sitting here ignoring it. They cut his mic off. He got annoyed. Some transgender lady started yelling at him. And the police ended up roughing him up, and everybody made fun of him. His belly was sticking out, all this stuff. Little did we know that his daughter was victimized by one of these people, these fakeloids, some guy in a dress going in a girl's bathroom. His daughter was in the ninth grade. So in any case, you have that, and we warned everybody about this a long time ago. We had the Wii Spa lady. She's like, there's a guy in there with little girls, and he has a D word. She was great, all that stuff. So anyway, that's out there. That's the big story about the from last week that the mainstream media is ignoring. This guy, they're ignoring the fact that he came out. He was the face of domestic terrorism because they have no other incidents. You know, all you had was people yelling and booing. But the only real violent incident was when the cops tried to arrest this man whose daughter was raped by a boy in a skirt in a bathroom. So and Miranda Devine, she has a great column out now. This Chinese immigrant woman down in Virginia, in the same school, Loudoun County, Virginia, she said this about the Biden administration's DOJ and that dusty old creep Merrick Garland sicking the FBI on people like her. This woman came from communist China. She knows what oppression looks like. This is what she said.
I spent my entire school years in the Chinese Cultural Revolution. So I'm very, very familiar with the communist tactics of how they divide people. Now they are labeling parents and concerned citizens like me as domestic terrorists. What's next step? Is the Tiananmen Square crackdown the next? Would the parents one day risk their lives just to speak out for their children?
These always, as I've said before, it's the people who come from places like that, communist China, Cuba, the former Yugoslavia, places, Eastern Europe, even the UK. The UK was a socialist country, not a totalitarian country, but it was a drab, bland socialist country in the 70s until Margaret Thatcher turned it around, much like Ronald Reagan turned it around here in the United States.
Right.
And it was horrible. And that's why they still have, in the UK, they have a national health system, which is in shambles. I mean, I watch some of these House of Commons shows on C-SPAN every Sunday, and half of the complaints are about the National Institutes of Health there.
Is that right?
About how horrible, about the wait for ambulances, about the wait to get an operation done. Mm. It's no good. You got to allow the private sector. For the life of me, I don't know why we don't have a similar system for car insurance. We have Geico. Why not for health insurance? Don't we have a Geico type system?
I don't know.
The private sector.
Yeah,
let them do it. They do it better than the government. The government sucks. The government can't do anything. And again, this big spending bill that Biden's pushing through. Inflation went up yesterday, from 4% to 5.4%, the highest since 1991. And these two bills, these trillions of dollars that add up to about $6 trillion they want to spend, it's just going to really, really supercharge inflation, which is such a dangerous thing. It's so poisonous. I mean, remember the 70s, stagflation. That means negative growth. And that's what we're looking at in this country. You see inflation down in Venezuela, what happened down there. They were boiling their shoes and eating shoes for dinner.
That's a true story, folks.
Yeah,
that's a true story.
It happens all over the globe. Socialism has never worked anywhere. But in this case, whilst inflation is spiraling out of control, to spend $6 trillion in a recovering economy is economic suicide. And that's why I played that John King thing this morning from CNN. He acknowledged a CNN poll found that most people think that these two bills will not help them in their personal lives. And they're right. So they can't sell it. And the more people find out what's in these bills, the more they hate them, because it is just a welfare state, energy sector killing, a couple of bills is what it is. Yeah, they have some stuff for roads, bridges, and tunnels. That's true. We need that.
Not enough.
But, yes, that's a minimal amount.
It was the same
amount.
Thing with the COVID bill. I mean, all these bills, they title them, and it sounds good, the title, all of them. And then you find out that it's minimal, what they put towards the actual title of
yeah,
the bill.
Yeah, they have equity, always. Tree equity, a civilian climate accord. $80 billion or something like that for a civilian climate accord. In other words, you're going to have these climate police all over the place, just like you have COVID police here in New York City.
What will climate police do?
I don't know. You tell me. They should tell you. Nancy Pelosi, you tell us. What are they going to do? What are they supposed to be doing? Who are they going to be policing? And the country's not ready for a green system. We're just not ready for it. We trust these people who can't control the border, who can't withdraw from Afghanistan in an orderly fashion, to implement some sort of a new energy system in this country? Hell no, we don't trust them. And by the way, solar panels, sometimes it's not sunny. Wind panels, sometimes it's not windy.
Right.
And then what do you do?
Yeah.
And by the way, electric batteries, they're dependent on coal. They're dependent on coal. A lot of the stuff that we need for electric car batteries comes from China.
Yeah.
And China, by the way, continues to build gas-fueled coal plants. They continue to use coal and foul up the atmosphere while we're committing economic and suicide on ourselves. It makes no sense whatsoever.
And listen, maybe I don't know enough about this stuff. In fact, I probably don't. I'm ignorant. I admit it. I'm ignorant. I think it's a bunch of nonsense. I want to eat steak. I want to drive cars. I want to hop on an airplane. I don't want any of that to go away.
Yeah.
Any of it to go away.
And they want
the rest of this stuff is complete nonsense.
They want the exact opposite. No steak because cows fart.
Cows
you
fart.
You have to raise
right.
cows.
Although humans fart too.
Right, but cows of flatulence apparently is over the top.
It's toxic. It's bad for the air.
And
it's like Justin
Ellis. It's a lot of it. And then finally, of course, Jack Cittarelli, he debated Governor Murphy the other night. We talked about it a lot. We had on the Jack Manzo, who's part of the campaign, yesterday. And it turns out that Murphy is squirming a little bit, he's in trouble. The polls are showing that Cittarelli is closing the gap. Ladies and gentlemen in New Jersey, mention to your friends Jack Cittarelli, the name. This guy can lead New Jersey out of he really can.
If this guy wins, I know this is really, really this is what kind of makes us who we are. But if this guy wins, it's because of us.
We'll take credit. We'll take full credit.
I mean, no one knew this guy's name 5 weeks ago.
No.
Nobody. No disrespect to Jack Manzo or these great debate performances. If he wins, it's because of us.
Absolutely.
If he loses, we had nothing to do with it.
And also because of his performances.
He's been great in those two debates.
I didn't see the second debate. I saw the first, and I grabbed a lot of the audio from it and played it here on the air just to show how able and capable this guy, Jack Cittarelli, is. I mean, he's just a tough, smart guy, a private sector guy initially. He's an assemblyman now, but he's a CPA. He's an attorney. Well accomplished guy.
Yeah.
But again, tough and quick on his feet.
He's actually out raising Phil Murphy when it comes to money the last, I believe, 3 or 4 weeks. And again, last night was that big fundraiser at the Brownstone in Paterson, New Jersey. I'd like to know how that went. I couldn't make it because I was at Pink Runway in Brooklyn, but I'd love to know how successful or not that fundraiser was last night, because Jack was there. Cittarelli was there in Paterson. So if somebody was there, give us a quick call. Let us know how it went.
So just to illustrate how worried they are on the Murphy side, they're bringing in, I guess they think she's a big gun, Dr. Jill Biden. The doc who allowed her mentally, cognitively impaired, I would say just demented, the demented piece of crap, as the Gold Star mother said, a run for president. And he shouldn't. He was awful yesterday in that speech with the supply chain backup. That speech, terrible. He was mispronouncing names, et cetera, et cetera. Also, a week from Saturday, they're bringing in Barack Obama, to campaign for him.
Wow.
So Cittarelli is making progress. Now, at the end of the debate, there was one instance where Murphy did some race baiting. I mean, it was really bad, and the audience let him have it, and it was great. Take a listen to this.
We have to keep moving forward. We cannot go backward, and we cannot afford an extreme leader. There's so much on the ballot. There's so much at stake. Do we stand with our sacred democracy, Or do we stand with Confederate flags and white supremacists and a pack of lies? Do we stand? Do we continue? Do we continue to make the tough? Do we continue to make the tough calls based on science and data to save as many lives as we can? Or do we
attach Jack Cittarelli to a Confederate flag? I mean, that is the
white
last
supremacy?
The last refuge of a scumbag with no argument. Jack Cittarelli for governor in New Jersey. Folks, tell your friends, get rid of this guy Murphy. He killed your grandparents or somebody's grandparents that you know. He's been a disaster. If taxes is your issue, New Jersey is not your state.
No. I mean,
look, Jack Cittarelli, folks, get the message out.
All right. 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. Liddy reports next. Then you get Bill O'Reilly, Congressman Dan Crenshaw. We've got our buddy from the Staten Island baseball team and Beat Bernie. All that coming up now. This is going to be a very, very powerful hour and 45 minutes on this Thursday edition of Bernie and Sid. Keep it right here.
Information 24/7. Download the all-new 77 WABC mobile app. This is Lydia Reports on 77 WABC. Here's Lydia Serrani.
Wow, I can't believe Governor Murphy from New Jersey. What a scumbag trying to associate Cittarelli and all Republicans to white supremacy and Confederate flags. They think we're stupid, but we're not stupid. As a parent myself, my daughter's only 4. She's in pre-K, but we hear it all the time from all the school officials all around the country. Critical race theory, CRT is not being taught in the schools. What is wrong with you? And basically CRT teaches kids that if you're white, you're an oppressor. If you're not, you're being oppressed. Well, there's a equity leader in Tahoma, Washington, right? Her name is Alicia Bosch, and parents were complaining about her because they said she was teaching critical race theory to the kids in Tahoma School District. And the school was like, no. This had been going on for months since the summer. There's actually a letter from a parent back in July, the whole nine. The school just completely ignored it. Then Alicia Bosch said this on TikTok.
Here's some things that you need to know about me. Number one, if you are a person of whiteness, I don't give a f-. I don't give a f- about your comfort. I don't give a f- about your feelings. I don't give a f- about where you think that your place is in the world. You too can achieve the American dream if only you work hard enough to conform to society's norms. And by society, I mean white supremacy.
That's just 30 seconds this minutes long of diatribe. She's a whack job, a nut job, and they finally kicked her to the curb. Oh yeah, her, what she says. What? Meanwhile, God only knows the damage has already been done. And what's really scary is God only knows how many more are like her out there teaching our kids.
No, I worry about that. You know, again, Gabriel's 12 and he's at that stage of his life, Lydia, where he, you know, his thoughts could be compromised. Ava's a bit older now. She's going to be a senior. She is a senior in high school, and I've lost her anyway. But he's at that age right now where he can go either way. And, you know, his teachers are a lot like those folks. They are. So it's scary.
Yeah, they're radicals. They're radicals. I don't even know, because our kids are so impressionable. They should be taught how to think, not what to think. And even subtly for them to kind of put all of this into their brains, like the fact that Mayor de Blasio, instead of fixing the homeless problem and all the other issues we're facing, people getting shot left and right, he's worried about pulling the Thomas Jefferson statue from City Hall. He was the third president. He did the Louisiana Purchase. I mean, this was a great man. He owned slaves. Okay, so did George Washington. That's what was done back then. There is no such thing as a perfect historical figure. Yet this is what he wants to do because he's virtue signaling. It's disgusting.
I'll give Benjamin Franklin was a perfect historical figure. He did not own slaves. However, it doesn't negate all the accomplishments Jefferson made or Washington. Jefferson, yes, wrote the Declaration of Independence. All the things you mentioned. It was a different time. Don't judge people by, 21st century standards. 18th century people by 21st century standards.
That's right.
That ship ain't right. That's with a P, yo.
That, and so did you hear about, Katie Couric? I'm not a fan of hers. I know people that worked with her at CBS News when she took over for Dan Rather. She is, that rhymes with witch. That's what people called her, right? She was like an egomaniac and very cheap, by the way. So she did this, and she's on this book tour, and she mentioned that she did an interview with, Supreme Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg after, she passed away. And so during this interview, she asked Ginsburg about what she thought about people that didn't stand up or kneeled for the national anthem. And Ginsburg actually condemned those people. She said, not standing for the anthem shows a contempt for a government that has made it possible for their parents and grandparents to live a decent life, which they probably could not have lived in places they came from. And as they became older, they realized that this was youthful folly. And that's why education is important. I think it's a terrible thing to do, but I wouldn't lock up a person for doing it. And Katie Couric cut it out because she said Ginsburg was 83 years old and she was worried that that she was too old to know what she was saying. The lady's on the Supreme Court just because she's 83 years old. Could you imagine how different things would have been had that comment come out? Ginsburg actually condemning people like Colin Kaepernick?
And do we believe Katie Couric when she says, oh, she was elderly and probably didn't fully understand the question? Of course we don't believe that. That was a lie. You covered it up because it didn't fit yours and the left's narrative that a leftist icon like RBG would actually speak the truth like that. That's why she cut it out, not because she thought she didn't know what she was talking about. Yeah, that's pretty disgusting. That is a... That whole book has really disgraced her. I think, what was the point of that book anyway? Harshing on all these people. And to admit that, it's kind of bizarre that she would come out and admit that herself at this point, that she did it. But it really is disgusting and very, very, symptomatic of what the media does all the time.
That's called fake news. That's what people don't understand. When you omit facts, you change the narrative of the story. Then she goes on in the book to say that RBG's people reached out to her and said, can you please cut that out? I don't buy it. First of all, I don't believe her.
Oh, I didn't hear that.
Yeah. But secondly, even I, as a journalist, I've had that happen where I do an interview with somebody and they'll contact you and say, can you please cut that out? I didn't mean to say that. No, you don't cut it out.
You know,
that's
what?
A journalistic integrity. You don't cut it out.
That's funny you mention that because our next guest is Bill O'Reilly. And I was... I was a regular once with Greg Gutfeld for a few years, four or five years. And I once said something about another Fox News personality and his weight. I made fun of him, and I thought I had a good relationship with him. But anyway, afterward, I thought, that was kind of mean what I said. And I actually called up O'Reilly's people. I said, could you do me a favor and could you edit that little piece out?
Did they do it?
Yeah.
Oh, they did.
They did. And they're like,
well, you could do it like that.
You owe me one.
Yeah, well, it's a friend to friend thing, because you were an ongoing guest. But when it's something that is a core, fact or something that is relevant.
Absolutely.
I mean, if you curse, I mean, of course, if somebody said to me, hey, I cursed, can you take that out? Or, oh, I didn't mean to say that. It's something, minor like that, like you made fun of somebody's weight. But when somebody comes out with a political stance like that, speaking their truth.
You're so right.
Who are you? You know, give me a break.
Yeah,
you don't cut that out.
That was
Why did she cut it out?
You're right. That was major. Why she did, because she's a fake, phony, corrupt, biased journalist is why. And they were running interference for Colin Kaepernick and the BLM protesters and the kneelers. That's why. And it's pretty gross. Go.
I got to wrap this up. I know I try not to make it a Democrat or a Republican thing. That's what the progressives and the Democrats try to do. Cause I guarantee you Americans, they don't believe in half the crap or even more than the crap that is being perpetuated by the media, the kneeling for this and CRT and all this other garbage, but they go along with it because it's being force fed down their throats by the media. And that's why if the media, I've said this so many times, when the media lies, democracy dies. And that's why I became a journalist because I wanted to tell the truth. And it's really disheartening and disgusting to see people like Katie Couric, she's no longer a journalist because she admits now she's a liar.
She never was. Yeah. By the way, we have I played it earlier. I'll play it a little bit later as well. Joe Rogan calling out to his face Dr. Sanjay Gupta on the ivermectin thing and CNN, speaking of fake news, calling it horse dewormer and stuff like that. We'll get to that a little bit later. But, Lydia, thank you for a terrific report once again.
Thank you, guys. And we got to keep fighting the good fight and telling the truth. And tonight, I don't know who we're going to have again on John Katzmatidis' show. Yesterday, we had Michael Goodwin. We have Bill O'Reilly, by the way, every single Monday. Dershowitz on Tuesdays. Maybe we'll have Senator Alphonse D'Amato. He likes to get a little rowdy sometimes. So we have probably Congressman Peter King, hopefully coming back from North Carolina. He's been campaigning there. So we'll have a great show tonight at 5.
I like what I hear. Lydia Serrani on the Bernie and Sid show. Check her out at Katz. Tonight at 5 o'clock. WABC. Back here on the Bernie and Sid Show. Heard everywhere on that 77 WABC app, simulcast out on Eastern Long Island, News Talk 107.1 FM. Also live streamed at WABCRadio.com. You can check us out. We're on your smart TVs, folks, and your computers. Right now, this is the highlight of our week. We set this time aside every Thursday at 8:40 to bring on a heavy hitter, a heavyweight in the business. His name is Bill O'Reilly. You can check him out at BillO'Reilly.com. Also here on 77 WABC, 9 o'clock at night. Does a great radio show as well. And we'll bring him in right now. Good morning, Bill O'Reilly.
Hey, how you doing, McGurk? What's going on?
Enjoying this, not quite Indian summer, but the warm weather. You out there in Long Island as well, Bill. I know that.
Yes, I am. It's a Native American summer. We can't call them Indians anymore.
Sorry. My bad.
You know, it's getting to be very, very difficult to even have a conversation. I prefer to talk to Lithuanians who don't understand English, and then I can say anything I want.
Bill, listen, you have a great message of the day today. You watched some cable news last night, and they were savaging, our leader in name only, I would say. He has handlers, but deservedly so, you mentioned. Tell us about that.
Well, first of all, have you guys noticed that the president's walking a little slower?
You know, he walks. I was going to mention he walks like. Remember, Donald Trump said that Mitt Romney walks like a penguin.
Yeah.
Joe Biden takes those little baby steps.
He reminded me of Daniel Jones last Sunday.
Oh my God!
Oh boy!
Okay, for you Giant fans out there,
he couldn't even get to his feet.
Yeah. I think it's taking a toll on him. So I don't watch a lot of any news because. What I have to do in my life is stay ahead of the news cycle, and the cable news and network news behind the news cycle. So they're basically telling you, most people, what they already know. But it was particularly savage last night when I had it on for a little while in the Fox News channel. I mean, it was gleeful. Obviously, a lot of commentators on Fox don't like Joe Biden, and they were celebrating his demise. And so I kind of did a little introspective thing, and I say, am I being like that on WABC and on BillO'Reilly.com? Am I joyful that he's failing at this degree? Because remember, it's going to get worse. And everybody's got to know that. When you have supply-side problems and inflation, the combination, if you can't get things to the marketplace, your prices are going to go up dramatically because that's what it is. If there's not a lot of product, what there is costs more. I mean, come on. I know they don't teach economics anymore, but that's what it is. Mm-hmm. And so you can expect a wave of bad news between now and January. Because people aren't going to be able to get their Christmas, Hanukkah gifts. They're not going to be there. If you order on the internet, they're going to tell you we don't have it. And people are going to get furious.
Yeah.
And How are they going to blame Trump for that? I don't know. They'll figure a way.
Well, you say blame Trump.
No one's going to buy it.
Well, you know, you say blame Trump, and I'm not going to mention the guy's name because he's a very, very, very good friend. Very good friend. But he was on with me and Bernie yesterday, and he's a CNBC guy, right? He's a money guy. He's a business guy. He should know this. He never blamed Trump. You know what he blamed on this whole thing? The pandemic. I said the pandemic? That's been over for 7 months. What do you mean the pandemic?
Well, there's some truth to that, though. I mean, to be fair, and I always try to be fair, there's some truth to the fact that once all of the meat processing plants, the chip makers, once they had to shut down, it takes a while for them to get back.
Right.
And then, because of the socialistic policies of the Biden administration, sending people as much money as they can send them, that robs incentive of the lower level wage earners. And you're seeing that. You can't get people, and even if you're a truck driver, you can make six figures now. You can make a lot of money. But you can't even get the people in the trucks to go to the ports to get the stuff. So the overarch on this is it's all Biden's fault. 100%. See, most presidents can deflect. Ah, it's not me. That's what he tried to do in Afghanistan. Ah, Trump did it. And he gave me a bad hand. And then but all this economic stuff, all this oil stuff, this is all Biden. So they know that. And they're desperately trying to figure a way out of it. But there is no way out of it. And therefore, the message of the day that I wrote and it just posted, I'm glad you guys read it, on BillO'Reilly.com is there's no way out.
Yeah.
It's on him.
There's no way out for him, and it is on him. And you're right, Bill. And, of course, to your point, things are going to get bad to worse. Even yesterday, inflation rose up to 5.4%.
I know.
And yet they still want to spend this over $5 trillion combined
that's
the two packages.
I mean, that's not happening now. So all of that, that's why I don't watch the news network or cable, because I know that's not happening. So why do I want to watch four pinheads on a panel discussing it? It's not happening.
So are you saying that they're going to reduce the number? Or
yes, reduce the number dramatically, down about 1.8 now. It goes down every day. And maybe McConnell is the guy right now. McConnell's sitting there going, well, let's see. I'm going to take this out and that out. So all the onerous, pernicious stuff that was inside that bill snuck in there. It had nothing to do with improving the economic state of the nation or fighting climate change or any of that. That's all going to come out. So it's stripped out. So, you know, again, I don't watch this stuff because I'm ahead, they're behind. But, boy, was it brutal last night. And I thought, you know, at a certain point that Fox News Channel was going to actually break out champagne and have a little cake. And, you know, they're so happy. Now, is that a bad thing? It's not good to celebrate failure in your country. That's, I think, true. But there is a but here. They were so vicious to Trump. And I'm going down to see Trump today. I hung around to talk to you guys.
Thank you.
But I'm getting on a plane a couple hours to go down because I have a big interview with him. I'll tell you that in a minute.
Wow.
So they were so brutal, not only Trump, but everybody who voted for Trump. Remember that. That the progressive left attacked every single American who voted for Donald Trump. You're a racist. You're a bigot. You're this. You're that. So now, payback. Now payback. Okay? So I'm sitting here and I got a lot of mixed feelings about this. Now, what I'm going to talk to Donald Trump today about is his political future. Now, I'm not going to say, are you running again? All that's ridiculous. What I'm going to basically say to him is, I think I'll have a good 30 minutes on Monday, and WABC will have it on my program at 9, the whole thing. And you can see it on BillO'Reilly.com. We'll put clips this weekend. What I'm going to do is, okay, let's assume that you're going to go because all the polls say you're far and away the most popular Republican in the country. There's nobody even close to you right now, according to the polls. Are you going to change? That's the discussion.
Wow.
Okay, that we're going to have today. That's unlike the discussion, and this tour, the four dates, two in Florida, two in Texas, in December takes on much, much more importance now. Because we are going to be able now to get into the problems of the day and how Trump dealt with them. So how did Trump keep inflation under control exactly? And it's not going to be boring. Believe me, this is going to be a madhouse in these big arenas in Fort Lauderdale, Orlando, Houston, and Dallas. Can you imagine 10, 12,000 people in there with Trump and me on the stage? I mean, talk about the Rolling Stones. This is going to make them look like little Bo Peep.
Right.
Okay. So, I mean, I'm just telling everybody, you want a once-in-a-lifetime experience, no matter where you are, get down there.
Oh, it's going to be phenomenal. It's going to be great. But I got to tell you, what you just talked about is such an interesting dynamic that, yes, the folks on the left really wanted Trump to fail at the expense of our country.
Yes.
And I'll exclude Bernard in this because he gets upset because he's not that type of guy. But I really believe the folks on the right really want Biden to fail at the expense of our country. They won't say that. Oh,
Wait, Sid. You were right on the first part. There are many, many on the right who want to see Biden fail.
Yes.
But at the expense of the country?
Well, if he fails, it's at the expense of the country, Bill.
No, but it may not be.
What do you mean?
Because if he fails, the progressive movement is blown up. And what is the biggest threat to the United States of America right now, Sid?
The progressive movement.
So it's not at the expense of the country.
Interesting.
All right? It's helping the country.
Interesting.
If they all go down. See, then it's so complicated emotionally.
Yeah. It's true.
So you're going to have a short-term pain. No doubt. It's coming. All right? And it's because of the progressive movement. It's political, it's economic, it's social. I mean, how much more of this woke stuff are we going to sit for?
Well, it's happening every day. They just canceled Halloween in Seattle yesterday. And so my question to you is, are you convinced, you're convinced that if Biden fails, the progressive movement pretty much goes away? I'm not convinced of that.
Blows up.
Okay.
All right? Because Biden is the enabler of it. And if a Republican is elected president in 2024 and the Congress goes Republican next year, then there'll be a backlash against the progressives and the socialists and the woke people. There'll be a ferocious backlash because the power will be shifted. And that's what's needed. We need to get rid of these people. Bill de Blasio has to go forever.
Yeah.
Forever. And all the remnants of him and all of those people who have destroyed this city have to go. And the only way they go is that the people who vote for them experience pain, which we are in New York, and we will experience more.
You're right,
Bill. This guy, de Blasio, I mean, he makes Biden look like a PhD, this guy.
Yeah. But just quickly back to Biden, the anger that a lot of us feel is genuine and justified. I guess the silver lining is that it hurts them politically, but we take no glee in what we see at the border, what we saw in Afghanistan, what we see them.
You're angry about it.
Yeah,
sicking
the FBI on concerned parents, inflation.
Ridiculous.
Right, but we don't take
absurd across the board.
It makes me sick. I don't take any glee in it. I'd be quite honest with you.
No, you're outraged by it. But when Biden fails because Biden enables all this, you're happy.
That's the silver. That could be the silver lining. But I wish it wasn't happening.
Yeah, but Bernie says he wishes it wasn't happening. I'm sorry. I think the last people again, I'll exclude Bernie because he's my best friend. We work together. They didn't want Biden to succeed. They wanted Trump to look better and better every day. The more Biden fails, the better Trump looks. So leaving Bernie out of this equation, I'm sorry, I disagree. I think there's a lot of folks on the right who did not want Biden to do well because they wanted Trump to get back in office. And if it meant all these things that he's talking about, that's the way it's going to be.
There are some, you know, real Trump people, but I don't think most people are tied into Donald Trump in that kind of an emotion.
Oh,
yeah, they like
that.
Him. And they think he did a good job, and they like what he stands for because he attacks the corrupt press and all of that. Okay. But most conservatives just want the best for their country. This is what you have to understand. This is the key point I want to make today on the Bernie and Sid program. Most conservative traditional people want the best for their country, want to keep what we have, what's worthy, what has worked. The progressive movement wants to change the country in a way that's going to really uproot all traditions. Bye-bye Thomas Jefferson in the City Hall of New York.
Yeah.
Bye.
Right.
It's, see you.
They're doing permanent damage is what they're doing. And that's right. what's really disturbing to us right now. Bill O'Reilly, we are out of time. But I can't tell you how much we love talking.
That was great.
We really do.
Great conversation.
BillO'Reilly.com, folks, at 9 o'clock at night on 77 WABC. And he's 7:25 every morning on the Bernie and Sid Show. Bill O'Reilly, we love you. Thank you so much.
All right, guys. Have a good weekend.
But before you go, there are still tickets available for these events with you and Trump. They go where?
Yes, there are tickets available. They're going very fast now since we started marketing. But there are tickets available. So just go to BillO'Reilly.com. We'll flip you right over to the box office that you want.
You're the man. Enjoy the Islanders and the Hurricanes tonight, Bill. Thank you so much. Bill O'Reilly, folks, what a great job on this show, 8:40 every Thursday, and as Bernie pointed out, 9 o'clock on this station every night, and 7:25 for his morning message every weekday. Still lots more to do. Congressman Dan Crenshaw is going to be here. We'll find out the name today of the Staten Island baseball team that this station owns, and we'll play Beat Bernie. All that still to come.
We are New York. Bernie and Sid in the morning. Talk Radio 77. WABC.
Love this song. I think Crenshaw likes it too. Let it play a little bit.
What they do?
Ah, Carlito's Way. Backstabbers, the OJs. I will talk to Dan Crenshaw, hero congressman out of the great state of Texas, momentarily. But first, Bernard, this is another big weekend here at 77 WABC. It's the third week of our special programming as 77 WABC celebrates 100 years.
That's right, Sidney. Join us at 3 p.m. for a one-hour special this and every Sunday in October, honoring WABC icons.
Burn this Sunday, October the 17th, 77 WABC highlights Music Radio 77 WABC. It's all part, once again, of 77 WABC celebrating 100 years.
Last weekend special highlighting the legend. Legendary Dan Ingram, that was awesome, and I'm excited to listen this Sunday.
Yeah, me too. Chris Libertini does a terrific job at this. I spoke with our big boss, Chad. He is very, very excited. Going to be a jam-packed hour. It's a must-listen.
It's going to be presented documentary style, and it features our very own Cousin Brucey, Tony Orlando, and the guy sitting next to me, you, Sid Rosenberg.
How about that?
Plus legendary DJs and 77 WABC personalities.
Turns out Chuck Leonard is a cousin of mine. Thanks to John and Margo Katsimatidis. Love them dearly for making all this possible.
Just a long list of another amazing thing we're doing here at 77 WABC to celebrate 100 years.
All right, this next guy is a guy that we love on this show, revere, respect. We were right there for him when the jerky Pete Davidson went after him on SNL. And we've been wanting to get this guy on the show for a very, very long time. We finally got him, and that's exciting. He's got a book out here, which I have here right in front of me. Fame, Blame, and the Raft of Shame. Yes, he was elected to Congress in Texas in 2019, but before that, you talk about a hero. This guy was a Navy SEAL Team 3, three tours of duty in Iraq, and of course he did have that injury where he lost his eye when an IED exploded in Iraq. But above and beyond that, what else can you say about this guy? Great politician, hero, Republican, and one of our favorites, making his debut on the Bernie and Sid in the Morning Show. It is Congressman Dan Crenshaw. Dan, good morning. How are you, pal?
Hey, good morning. Thanks for having me.
Nice to have you.
It's a pleasure. Dan Crenshaw, we'll talk about your book in a moment, which is about cancel culture, Fame, Blame, and the Raft of Shame. But listen, a little politics first, if you don't mind, Dan Crenshaw, Congressman Dan Crenshaw, and thank you for your service, sir. We really appreciate and do admire you a lot. Just when you thought the Biden administration couldn't sink any lower, just last week we found out that the DOJ is sicking the FBI on concerned parents concerned about the garbage that the schools are poisoning their children's minds with, and that one of the parents that was arrested at one of these school board meetings, which has become really ground zero for the culture wars. It turns out that that guy's daughter, his ninth grade daughter, was raped by a boy in a skirt in a bathroom, in a girl's bathroom. Your thoughts on that whole disgusting scenario?
That was a really particularly heartbreaking story to listen to. They've been supporting these parents for a long time, and they're mad about a lot of things, whether it's their kids being forced to wear masks or racism being taught in the schools in the form of critical race theory. And of course they disguise that as something like diversity and inclusion training or some other like nice sounding phrase. But then there was this story, about this girl being raped. And, you know, I mean, my message to America and the people who don't like to talk about these culture war issues, and especially the left, is, do you see what we're talking about now? Is this enough for you at this point? Like, why on earth is it so important to you to cater to such a tiny percentage of the population and therefore destroy the privacy rights and deem uncomfortable half the population, in this case women? I mean, like, as a guy, I don't really care who comes into my bathroom, but I would certainly care if my daughter had to worry about that.
Yep. I worry about that.
It's just unfathomable.
Yep. My daughter's 17. I worry about that every day. Hey, one of the things you've been very adamant about, in fact, I saw you on Fox News yesterday, Dan, was the border crisis down there at the southern border. And I know you asked yesterday for the impeachment of Mayorkas, who's in charge of the Homeland Security. You called it a deliberate dereliction of duty. It's a two-part question. A, do you think that's realistic, impeachment? And secondly, when you say deliberate dereliction of duty, what exactly do you mean?
Sure. So let's start with realistic. I mean, when we take back the House, we could probably get that done. Now it would still need to pass the Senate and require a 2/3 majority of impeachment in the Senate. And I don't think we'll ever meet that threshold. It's hard to imagine 10 other Democrats wanting to vote for that. But deliberate dereliction of duty, yes. Okay. So, and I think it's important to note that what we would be accusing him of, well, it's this dereliction of constitutional duty. I mean, as a part of the executive branch, your job is to uphold the law. And there's a difference between incompetence and intentional acts. And I don't think we're dealing with incompetence here. I think we're dealing with intentional acts. And there's a few examples that I would note. I mean, well, first of all, every action that this administration takes, that the DHS Secretary has taken, has been designed to increase illegal immigration, not decrease it.
Right.
They investigate and have a chilling effect on the actions of their officers, their Border Patrol officers. As you saw when they were on horseback, stopping people from rushing across the river, what do? They don't reward them. They investigate them. What do internally? They stop doing internal enforcement. They just announced they're going to stop doing these bigger ICE raids on large businesses that are using lots and lots of illegal immigrants. They don't want to arrest people anymore. They want to cease those kind of deportations. They removed the Remain in Mexico policy, which was really the most effective policy that was keeping people out, disincentivizing them to come. So it's just time and time again. Oh, and they canceled the border wall contract. I forget about that.
Right, right.
Yeah, which we're still paying for.
Yeah. And so at this point, you have to think, okay, I think they're doing this on purpose. I think this is intentional. I think they're intentionally flouting our laws. And as a Republican, we feel a little bit helpless. We don't have any power in Washington. And so we're hoping that a bigger message like that, once we take back the House in 2022, would at least encourage them to reverse course, even if an impeachment was unsuccessful.
Congressman Dan Crenshaw from Texas on the Bernie and Sid Show. Again, we'll talk about the book in a second. It's about cancel culture. It's a children's book. It's called Fame, Blame, and the Raft of Shame. Go to Amazon and check it out. Congressman Crenshaw is a great guy. The book is very instructive. Again, we'll talk about it in a minute. Congressman Crenshaw, inflation. Yesterday, a new number came out, 5.4%, the highest since 1991. Of course, as you know, You're part of Congress. You got two bills pending down there in Congress to the tune of $5-6 trillion. And those bills, of course, would cause inflation to spiral way out of control. And ironically, you have this crazy America-hating, Jew-hating, this racist squad, these squad members holding up these bills. I mean, are these bills actually going to be squashed because of these people? Or what are your thoughts on the whole thing, inflation, the bills, and the squad?
Sure. So, on inflation, it's a real problem. It's one of the biggest taxes on the American people, especially lower and middle class. No, we've seen it a while. There's a lot of reasons for inflation. It did seem to take off after the massive spending bill Democrats pushed through as soon as Biden took office. It might have just been the icing on the cake, because it already spent so much, it already flooded the economy with so much money. A typical family may have been able to get up to $100,000 over those last years because of all of the benefits. If they're really astute at getting those benefits, they could have been awash with cash. It also gets to the reason we're having labor shortages. People still don't really have that incentive to get back to work. So a lot of reasons that they can, even with the unemployment benefits gone, there's still a lot of other ways that people could just do the math and say, does it make sense for me to go back to work? That causes a squeeze, causes inflation. The supply chain issues further cause inflation. Now, another spending bill would, of course, vastly increase that as well, probably spook the bond market. And luckily, it fell apart. In part because of those progressives who refused to vote for, say, the infrastructure package if it wasn't completely tied to the reconciliation package. So their radicalness has gotten in their way, luckily.
Yeah.
Those bills are dead for now, but the Democrats are going to go back to the drawing board and try and hammer something out, and I'm sure they will.
Right.
I'm sure it'll be damaging. It won't be as damaging as this one. But it'll still be pretty damaging. And my question is going to be, what kind of policy changes are in there? What kind of damaging policy changes? The dollar number, it's going to be bad no matter what. But America can survive that. What we can't survive is job killing, wage killing, tax increases, destruction of our energy industry, things like that that are really, really scary and bad. That's what I'm hoping somebody like Manchin can argue his way out of.
Iraq war veteran, hero, and now Texas Congressman Dan Crenshaw. What happened in your state yesterday with my friend Herschel Walker? What was that all about? What happened? He had to cancel his event in your state, Dan. Come on, what happened?
If I missed this news, you're going to have to tell me.
Well, he was supposed to have an event in Texas. Of course, he's running for office in Georgia. And the folks put something out there, maybe it was on social media, and the anti-vaccine folks using syringes, actually used the syringes and made a symbol of the swastika. So they managed to anti-vaccine and go after the Jews at the same time. And Herschel, he's a very good man, was so offended by all of it that he said, nope, we're not doing it, and that's it. We're out of Texas, no event because of all that. How about that?
Huh. Wait, was that were those protests associated with his event?
They were basically
something that happened.
I don't know the answer to that. I know that they were anti-vaccine people, and they used syringes to create the shape of a swastika. So I don't know exactly why, Dan. That's a good question. I don't. I just know that Herschel was so offended that he decided to get out of there. That was it, which I thought was great.
Huh. I have no idea. I have no idea what happened. Sorry.
It's okay.
I can't follow the story.
I cannot explain it myself. Well, Dan Crenshaw, listen, we could talk all day politics. The current president, I mean, just a complete and total horror show. But we're constricted by time, so let's talk about your book, which is important as well. It's all about cancel culture, and it's called Fame, Blame, and the Raft of Shame. It's a kid's book. I read it last night. And so tell us about these. I think it's labeled here as book four. This is the fourth book of a series of books. Tell us about these books.
Yeah, and that's what's kind of cool about it. So I'm one author amongst many that will come out with a book every month. And it's a conservative theme every single time that hits a pretty difficult issue. And mine is cancel culture. And you can can see from the story how it sort of wraps in my experiences and explains to kids what cancel culture is, what it isn't, and how to overcome it, how to forgive. There's workbooks in the back. It's a pretty neat thing. I do want to correct one thing. You can't actually buy it on Amazon. It's not a normal publisher. You can go to dan.bravebooks.com. If that's too hard to remember, just bravebooks.com. And you can subscribe, and you can get one of these books every single month. So it's a pretty unique thing. And when it comes in like kind of a cool packaging. It comes with a big map of Freedom Island where all of these sagas take place and all the characters. You know, your kids will get like a neat mission statement in an envelope. It'll feel like an experience. And so that's why you got to go. They only sell it from their website.
All right. Brave, which you are, have proven to be brave, B-R-A-V-E, bravebooks.com. Dan Crenshaw, American hero, great congressman out of the state of Texas. Again, the book is Fame, Blame, and the Raft of Shame. Thank you for hopping on this morning, Dan, and let's talk again very, very soon, buddy. Thank you.
Great to be with you guys. Thanks for having me.
You too.
Congressman
Dan Crenshaw.
Honor is what it was.
Out of the state of Texas. We'll come back and talk Staten Island baseball with our guy Eric Scheffler and play Beat Bernie. In fact, you need a contestant for Beat Bernie right now. 1-800-848-WABC. 1-800-848-9222. Your chance at $100 at a big coffee mug is about to come your way.
I was all right for a while. I could smile for a while. But when I saw you last night, you held my hand so tight. When you stopped to say,
back here on the Bernie and Sid Show, we've got our good buddy live in studio. Part of that great group that will run the Staten Island baseball team, Eric Scheffler. He's been with us a bunch of times, talking about the possible team names for the Staten Island team. We're really excited about this venture here at WABC. John and Margo Katsimatidis, congrats again. Everything we expect, at least, from concerts to family events to all kinds of cool stuff. But right now, we're talking baseball. So the last time you were here, I believe we were down to a couple of team names, and I think we're still kind of there, right, Eric?
We're almost there. You know, the fan engagement has been so intense and overwhelming that we decided to kind of go to one last round.
One more round. Are you surprised by the amount of people that are really enthusiastic about this? Because I am.
I'm heartened by it.
Yeah.
Surprised. I think what was most surprising was, you know, we got 2,000 submissions. 2,000.
Wow.
I don't want to say different, but 2,000 submissions, and so many of them were real. They were people genuinely saying, this is what I feel about Staten Island, and this is what I want the team name to be. They weren't, you know, just one-off kind of joke names, like really serious names, and that made it harder, and it's made the process really harder. And the final choice is not going to be easy.
So when will that final choice be announced?
We are going to announce it in the middle of November.
And
that is a hard date.
Before Thanksgiving.
Because we want to have a website ready, and we want holiday shopping to be ready. We want people out there with our Fairy Hawk, Dragon Slayer, Harbor Hero merchandise, and we need to be selling tickets.
But you're not going to be able to get any of that stuff because of the supply issue, right?
Yeah, gotta wait till March.
We will have everything ready by available for sale for the Christmas and Hanukkah holidays.
So what are the three names that we're down to right now? Three?
We are down to three.
All right.
Harbor Heroes.
That's yours, right? You like that one?
I think I like that the best, yeah.
Fairy Hawks.
Good.
And the last is Dragon Slayers.
I'm with Bernie.
The alliteration, the HH, Harbor Heroes. I love alliteration. I don't know why.
Yeah, plus heroes.
Heroes,
So many of our first responders do come from Staten Island. And, it's the guardian of the harbor. As you enter New York Harbor, it's perfect. Perfect.
I'll give you a great story. A young lady submitted Harbor Heroes, and she emailed the borough president, her mom did, to say she was so excited about the contest and so excited that baseball was coming back to Staten Island. Borough president called me up and sent me the email. I called her mom, said, why don't you bring her out to the stadium this weekend? I gave her, you know, a private tour, showed her everything, and, you know, I asked her, why did you choose Harbor Heroes? And she gave this amazing answer about teachers and nurses and students and firefighters and police officers and how everyone just worked together, you know, and battled through the pandemic. And It was very, you know, very symbolic of what Staten Island represents. Sure. And it's a great name. Ferry Hawks, I know, was a name you guys both liked also. Dragon Slayers has a lot of, you know, interesting appeal. We're going to find a way to incorporate all of them.
Oh, you are?
We are. I've got several ideas. I mean, you know, as we've talked about, we are an independent team. So what comes next is really what's exciting, right? We got to find a manager, and then we're going to have, you know, tryouts for Staten Island players. We have to recruit a team. Like, we don't get our players given to us.
Well, I kind of joked with you a moment ago that Aaron Boone was back in the Bronx yesterday, first time since the season ended. And there's still some thought out that he may get fired by the Yanks. So if he does, you guys should hire him.
Well, you know, the Yankees are an investor in our team, and Randy Levine has been an amazing ally and supporter of this. And
love Randy Levine.
We are confident the Yankees will be there to help us in, you know, whatever way we need as we build this franchise from a marketing and other aspects.
So are we still soliciting, you know, opinions on the website, WABCRadio.com?
WABCRadio.com/baseball. People can still vote through Sunday.
Oh, through Sunday?
Through Sunday.
Okay.
We like to give people the weekend.
Right, of course. That's usually their home and nothing else to do, so they'll do this. All right, so now, again, you got the team name done, and what is the very next? I know you mentioned a bunch of things.
Very next step. Hire a general manager and a senior baseball operation.
Do you have a short list of names right now?
We do. I expect we'll make an announcement with that in the next couple of weeks.
Oh, really? That quickly?
And then manager moves quickly. You know, one thing I was thinking about, I wanted your guys' opinion on, we have to put together the ticket plans and the promotions. So
right.
What are your guys' favorite promotions that you like to see at a baseball game when you go?
Promotions. I like D-battery nights. No, I kid, I jest. You know, some sort of bobblehead, a Katsumatidis bobblehead doll, perhaps.
Or a Bernie and Sid bobblehead.
I was going to say Bernie and Sid bobblehead.
I always like it when they have those silly races, when the hot dog races against, like Milwaukee does that very, very
we
well.
We could have ferries racing against each other.
There you go. Something like that always works. What else they do at baseball games?
At baseball games? Well, we could have, they give away, what is it?
Well, they do the Heritage Nights, too. Don't forget that. Israeli Heritage Night, Hispanic Heritage Night,
Greek
Heritage Night. That always helps.
Some sort of fungal bat night or something
there
like that.
There you go.
When I was a
kid, they gave you a real bat when you went to
school. Well, I know that. In the Bronx, that was a very dangerous time.
Skulls were cracked.
And, of course, if you know Sid Rosenberg, you have to have a housewife night. So we'll make sure you get a housewife in New Jersey out there. Otherwise, there's a million things you can do that involve just everyday folks. You have to have a Back to Blue night.
Right.
And celebrate the police officers on Staten Island, as we're going to do here coming up next week, and the fire department people and all that type of stuff. So that you're never going to have things to do. That's easy. The harder part is field a good baseball team.
The harder part is field a good team and get your player network out there and find baseball operations people who have pretty deep networks into the minor leagues, into Latin America, and they can go out and recruit a team for you.
Right.
It's not easy to do. And it's not easy.
Even Asia, too.
Bobby Valentine's
got all those. He's up in Connecticut right now doing nothing, hanging out at Sacred Heart.
I'm feeling pretty good that we've got a couple things up our sleeve that are going to put us in a very
Did you hire Gary Perone from the taken from Steve Cohen and the Cyclones?
I am not taking any comments on
anyone. Oh, congratulations,
we're stealing from anybody. So announcements will be coming on a lot of hirings very quickly. But, you know, the cultural thing's interesting because when we're talking about, you know, what John talks about is not just a baseball team, but a sports and entertainment complex. And that means cultural festivals. So we don't have to have just Greek Day at the baseball game. We can have a whole Greek cultural festival in the stadium.
And being that we just celebrated Columbus Day, as my buddy Joe Nunziata reminds me, Italian Day in the stadium. And a lot of Italian people live on Staten Island anyway. So, yeah, that works. That works well.
Have you guys taken the fast ferry yet over?
Not yet. Have you, Bernie?
The fast ferry? No, I'm not even familiar with
it. The city opened it up. By the end of August, it is an 18-minute ride from Battery Park to Staten
Island. That's all it is.
And it is 30 minutes from, I think it's Pier 79, which is 39th on the West Side Highway.
Yes.
It's 30 minutes there. I take it a lot to the stadium. It is a stunning view the way you go up the Hudson and then see the Statue of Liberty and then head to the stadium. The fast ferry literally stops 100 yards from the right field entrance at the stadium.
Wow. It's down on Wall Street on the Manhattan side?
Yep. Down right off of in Battery Park. Pier 79 on the Upper West Side and Battery Park. That's a game changer for Staten Island.
Amazing.
It's a game changer for us in terms of people who want to come to concerts and games. You know, you get
this incredible
view. You can get a beverage. You can get food. And it drops you right off at the stadium. The view's unreal.
It's definitely a touristy thing to do. I mean, I love doing it myself just for the hell of the fun. I have nowhere to go in Staten Island, but just take a ride and enjoy the view.
Well, you love the ferries too, wouldn't you?
What was the ride length before the 18 minutes? What is the normal?
The regular ferry is about 35 minutes,
right.
But it doesn't head up the west side.
I see.
That is one of the benefits now as it goes up the west side and it cuts it in half to the Wall Street.
Sweet. Wow.
So it's sweet. You know, it's great for Staten
Island. Right next to the stadium. This is going to be fantastic.
Right next to the stadium. And, you know, Sid, as you said, it's the views as you're doing it. Or
gorgeous. Burnt,
it's worth the $2.75 just for the boat ride.
Yep. And the occasional, body floating face down.
That's always fun. I actually just took the ferry, not to Staten Island, but from Wall Street to, for the 9/11, the Tunnel to Towers race.
That's right.
At 6 o'clock in the morning,
yeah.
to the IKEA, I guess, in Brooklyn. But I take those ferries. I used to live on Hanover Square,
okay.
Down by Wall Street, 3-block walk from the ferries, and we just go to Dumbo just to spend the day and get some ice cream, get some burgers, get some pizza. Those ferries are fun. I mean, the kids love it. It's a whole experience on a really nice day. That ferry is like it's taking a boat ride.
And you get
it's really cool.
As he said, you can get a beverage.
And you get a beverage.
And a beverage and a snack. But yeah, I think the concept where people are tourists can take the ferry. There's an Empire Mall outlet. The stadium will be next to it. We'll have a retail store open.
Wow.
They can come by, Ferry Hawk, Dragon Slayer, Harbor Hero merchandise, maybe get a stadium tour. You can really see a lot of marketing opportunities that'll be good for Staten Island because we can draw more traffic and more foot traffic there.
Awesome. This is very, very exciting, Eric. Yeah. We've been excited about it since the day you announced the group that bought the team, obviously. Will there be a Frank Morano night? He's a Staten Islander. Honor the great Frank Morano.
I think there will be. Can we do that as a bobblehead, too? We do have a competition, which bobblehead sells the most.
Oh, let's do that. I'm willing to do that. I love that stuff. I did it once. Me and Joe Beningo, we were the midday show partners on WFAN in 2003, and the Brooklyn Cyclones did a Joe and Sid bobblehead night. I still have it, by the way. It's cute. But looking forward, more forward to the Bernie at your stadium. So congratulations, and one more time for the folks who still want to vote through Sunday, where do they go?
WABCradio.com/baseball.
Baseball. And Ferry Hawks, Harbor Heroes, and Dragon Slayers. Those are the three.
I think we know where it's going. But anyway, Eric Shuffler.
I don't know where it's going.
Thanks very much for appearing. We'll see you again, and we'll discuss the results.
And I look forward to coming back with some of our baseball people to talk about what the team's going to look like in the season.
Can't wait for that. Really excited about that part of this whole
deal. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Eric. Thank you so much.
Thanks, guys.
Now, it's time to beat Bernie.
It's time to beat Bernie.
Sponsored by Fearless Boilers and Pavilion Tankless Water Heaters.
You think you can beat Bernie?
Good luck.
It's time to beat Bernie.
All right, before we get to beat Bernie, I want to remind you folks, 77 WABC and Ramsey Mazda back the blue. Nobody does it like this station. John and Margo Katz and Matidis, Chad and us, Bernie and Sid. Join us on Thursday, October the 21st, that is a week from today, as we give a heartfelt and much-deserved thank you to law enforcement officers across the nation. 77 WABC and Ramsey Mazda, we back the blue, and it comes up a week from today right out here on 3rd Avenue. All right, let's play the game. Mary is in my borough. I was there yesterday in Coney Island. Brooklyn. She is a retired special ed teacher. Mary, good morning, sweetheart. How are you?
I'm good. Good morning, Sid. How are you?
I'm very well. Thank you. Where in Brooklyn are you, Mary?
I'm in Bay Ridge.
Are you in Bay Ridge? Very, very nice. Almost went there for lunch. Where are you in Bay Ridge?
Excuse me, 91st Street.
Okay, beautiful. I spent a lot of time there. I went to Poly Prep, of course, off of Dyker End, I believe.
No.
Yep. Love that. Love that neighborhood, Bay Ridge, Brooklyn. It's a great place. And how long are you retired now, Mary?
10 years.
10 years. So what do you do by day? You just get up in the morning, have your coffee, listen to us. And what else does Mary do on a daily basis?
I read. I paint. I'm going to Florida on Saturday.
What, for like the whole, fall and winter?
For like a month to visit my daughter. She moved down there.
Where does she live?
She lives in Boynton Beach.
Oh, very, very nice. Now, just north of me, where I lived in Boca for 16 years. Very, very nice. All right. Well, it sounds like you've got a beautiful life. You've got a daughter. You've got Florida. You're living in Bay Ridge. Sounds like everything is going very, very well. So to win today's game would really be icing on the cake. Isn't that right?
I think so.
All right, sweetheart. Well, here we go. Here's number one. Who was a longtime Minnesota senator who became vice president in 1965 and then went back to the Senate in 1970 after losing a presidential bid?
Oh.
Very famous Minnesotan. My cousin actually beat his son.
Dole?
No, incorrect.
Wrong, you two-legged back of anthrax.
Hubert Humphrey is who we're looking for there.
Oh.
What Kellogg's brand cereal is represented by the mascot Cornelius Rooster?
It's like cornflakes?
Yes. Cornflakes? Very good. Very good. You got cornflakes. Cornelius Rooster. James Madison and Woodrow Wilson both graduated from this New Jersey university.
Rutgers?
Oh.
Wrong, you two-legged bag of anthrax, you'll be Jesus.
No, Princeton. They're smarter than the Rutgers. In 2000, the state of Alabama voted to end a 1901 ban on what type of marriage? Easy.
Common law?
Oh, no, sweetheart.
Wrong, you two-legged bag of anthrax, you'll be Jesus.
Interracial. And finally, what is the only national memorial found in South Dakota's Black Hills National Forest? I'll give you a hint, four presidents.
Oh, I was there, Mount Rushmore.
There you go, baby girl. All right, Mary, you got two right. And we'll see if Bernie does any better. Either way, you're going to Boynton Beach tomorrow and the world is good, right?
Yes.
Go to Delray Beach for dinner, Atlantic Avenue. It's very, very good. A lot of good spots.
I have a wedding there in Delray on the 6th.
Oh, you're going to Delray on the 6th?
Yeah, I have a wedding there.
Oh, very, very nice. Okay. Well, Atlantic Avenue was great. You'll love it there. All right, let's put Mary on hold. And here comes Bernard doing his Instagram video. You can watch that at It's Bernie and Sid, at It's Bernie and Sid. Three right gets you a win today, okay? Good looking?
I like what I hear.
All right. Who was the longtime Minnesota senator who became vice president in 1965 and then went back to the Senate in 1970 after losing a presidential bid?
That would be, and who names their child Hubert?
I know.
I mean, that would be.
He did.
Hubert Humphrey.
He did.
What a name, huh?
He named his son Hubert.
There was a junior?
Norm Coleman kicked his ass.
Hubert Humphrey Jr.
Yes, and Norm kicked his ass.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
And that would have been a question.
He actually beat Humphrey Jr. in the gubernatorial race, but he lost to Jesse Ventura.
Ah.
I saw Al Franken on TV actually a couple of minutes ago. That Minnesota jerk. Number two, what Kellogg's brand cereal is represented by the mascot Cornelius Rooster?
I would imagine that's cornflakes, right?
Yeah. I haven't had cornflakes in my whole life. I eat Frosted Flakes every morning, but I can't eat cornflakes.
Cornelius Rooster, not to be confused with, what's his name from the cartoon?
Foghorn Leghorn?
Foghorn
Leghorn.
I said, boy, you about as sharp as a bowling ball, boy.
I knew exactly where you were going with that, too. Number three.
Foghorn Leghorn.
James Madison and Woodrow Wilson both graduated from this New Jersey university.
James Madison and, it would be Princeton.
She said Rutgers, but they're a little smarter than that. Jimmy Gandolfini went to Rutgers, though. He's a smart guy. No?
But he ain't Woodrow Wilson.
No, he's not. No. In fact, nobody's Woodrow Wilson except for Woodrow Wilson.
And by the way, he wasn't, you know, for all his intelligence, he wasn't that smart.
No, he wasn't. No, he was a very good actor, and he loved his prawns.
Woodrow Wilson?
Oh. In 2000, the state of Alabama voted to end a 1901 ban on what type of marriage?
That would be, it's either interracial or...
Or?
It would be, what the hell do you call that?
Gay?
I would say interracial.
Yeah. He actually said common law. That's when you have no faith left in the country.
Or you know, marrying your brother.
Right, well, that's not outlawed.
It's not?
Of course not. They still do it in West Virginia and in Alabama, all these places.
Yeah. Even guys marry their brothers?
That's what happened to Joe Biden.
Not in Mississippi, they don't.
No, they don't. What is the only national memorial found in South Dakota's Black Hills National Forest?
Well, it would be the Mount Rushmore.
Wow. 5 for 5. Again, you're hot lately, man. You're on fire.
I mean...
You in fuego, like Dan Patrick would say.
I don't know what to say.
You read a lot of books.
Let me ask you, what does reading a lot of books have to do with him knowing the answer to cornflakes? I'm just curious.
Nothing.
Okay.
And for that particular question, absolutely nothing.
Okay.
Do you write the questions?
No. No, I don't. Okay. Matt Meany's been writing the questions.
I think Meany writes them.
All right, I see.
Yeah. Anyway, 5-2 is your final score. Mary's very sweet. She's on her way to Boynton Beach in Delray Beach. She was a teacher. She's in Bay Ridge, Brooklyn. And you beat her, but she's a very, very nice lady. Mary, say hello to Bernard.
Hello, Mary.
Hi, Bernie.
Are you leaving Brooklyn for good to go to Florida?
No, I'm just visiting my daughter, but I'm thinking about it.
Yeah, who isn't? Yeah, no doubt. Things are, the city's not that great. The state stinks, period. I don't know about where you are in Brooklyn, but Florida seems to be the it place.
My daughter told me that the governor, Hochul, wants to force mandates on people that want to get driver's licenses. Did you hear about that?
No, that's a new one. Wow.
Can you find out about that, if they want to renew their license or if they want? Because then I'm definitely out of here.
You know, as soon as we get off the air here, I will Google that. I had not heard that, but at some point, these things are going to go to the courts, and the courts are going to say, I'm sorry, you can't do that. You can't do it. Listen, you are a retired special ed teacher. I don't know.
Actually, I was retired as an early childhood teacher. I started my career in special ed.
Oh, because for the life of me, I don't know how anybody could be a special ed teacher. And listen, I have all the compassion in the world. But that is brutal, especially the public special ed classes. I mean, those kids are really out of control. It's just tough. So I was going to heap a lot of praise on you. But, Mary, now I have to withdraw it because you quit.
I didn't quit.
Well, listen, anyway, you're a very nice lady. We thank you. Enjoy your trip down to Florida. Thanks for listening to the Bernie and Sid show, and thanks for playing.
I listen every morning.
Well, thank you. And don't forget, you can listen in Florida, too. You can listen anywhere in the world. Just download the free 77 WABC app, and you can watch me and Bernie from Florida or anywhere in the world. Just go to WABCRadio.com. That's WABCRadio.com.
You know, if you missed out on the chance to play Beat Bernie, listen tomorrow at 9:40 and try again. Or you can take a stab at the $1,000 Minute on The Other Side of Midnight, hosted by Frank Morano each weekday morning. The Other Side of Midnight is Monday through Thursday. It's great. Or Sunday through Thursday, actually.
Right.
But every weekday morning at 4:30, you have the chance to win $1,000 if you can answer 10 consecutive questions correctly in 1 minute. So listen to The Other Side of Midnight with Frank Morano, 1 a.m. to 5 a.m. weekdays, for entertaining and informative talk and the $1,000 Minute.
We'll close out the show. 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. Your chance to talk to Bernie and Sid is next.
WABC.
We are here on the beach where a giant shark has just eaten a girl swimmer. Well, Mr. Jaws, how was it?
Dynamite!
And what did she say when you grabbed her?
Please, Mr. Please.
I know sharks are stupid, but what did you think when you took that first bite?
How sweet it is.
Mr. Jaws, before you swim out to sea, have you anything else to say?
I can't be friends.
Mr. Jaws! That's not the way this record is supposed to end. Help! Help!
So in the spirit of Dick Morris's clip of the day, you always think of Robert De Niro when you hear this song, right? Smoking a cigarette. Christmas scene, Goodfellas, they're walking into the bar. What did I tell you? Take it back.
Take it back.
What did I tell you? In the spirit of Dick Morris's clip of the day, that was Dickie Goodman. And he wrote all these songs where he would have music answer the question, like Dick Morris did today in the clip of the day, using Pink Floyd's Comfortably Numb to describe Joe Biden. That's what I thought of. I thought of Dickie Goodman.
Well,
You don't remember that guy?
I don't remember it, and my honest assessment is it's very forgettable. I mean, it's just it sounds lame to me.
Of course it was lame. It was 1971 or something.
I mean, so 1971, Johnny Carson wasn't lame.
Ah, good point. Very good point. I did get a video from Jack Manzo showing me the footage last night at the Brownstone in Patterson, that Jack Cirelli event. And I saw Jack in the video, and it was packed. A lot of well-dressed people. It's a beautiful place, Tommy's place. So I guess it was a roaring success. Let's talk to Bobby in Wayne, New Jersey. Quickly, line one. Hello, Bobby.
Hey, Bernie. How are you? Bernie and Sid.
What's up, Bobby?
I love you guys. Yeah, it was a great night last night.
Oh, you were there?
In and out. Six. Yes, sir.
Cool.
6 o'clock to 8 o'clock.
I know, no, I know they did the job in 2 hours, and like I said, I would have been there, but I had the event in Brooklyn, so I couldn't make it, but...
Cinerelli's the man.
He's the man.
He's got Murphy sweating. They're bringing in a Dr. Jill Biden. They're bringing in an Obama. He's got him sweating. Cinerelli's the real deal.
Yep. Let's hope Cinerelli gets the win.
He had another stop last night, and he was even on Hannity last night.
Oh,
and
really?
I spoke to him for a few... Yes. It was about 9:45 he was on Hannity. I spoke to him. He told me he loves the police. I'm a retired police.
Yeah.
He says he will support the police and firemen every single day.
Of course he will. By the way, Hannity.
Jersey boy.
Yes. Murphy. Thank you, Bobby. How do you think Hannity found out about Jack Cirelli?
No doubt he was listening to the Bernie and Sister.
He admits it. He readily admits it. His own station, he's got Len Berman
he's not listening to that
Weedell. Listens to us. Now he goes back. You know,
he's listening to the Broadway reviews.
Right. So he's admitted a million times publicly, Sean Hannity listens to you and I every morning. That's how I find out about Jack Cirelli, please. Here's, you got 30 seconds. Bob in Yonkers, line two. Bobby, go ahead. One word on Donald Trump. What is it?
Oh man, one word. Unite. United. Tell O'Reilly to tell him one word. Unite.
Okay, thank you. We just tried that with the last president. It was a disaster. This president, I should say. Unite.
Oh, I mean, that was his mantra. He's done everything but.
Correct. We got podcasts to do, huh, baby?
Yeah. I'm going to do mine right after the show.
Me too.
It's called American Lives Matter. Go to WABCRadio.com, and yours is called?
Citizens United, the title of my book, which comes out Father's Day. Then I'm going to run to a men's warehouse with my son and Joseph Abu to get my son a bar mitzvah suit. Then tonight I'll be on Long Island in Freeport, co-hosting along with Butch Patrick, Eddie Munster, a huge GOP event once again in Nassau County. You think I live there or something? I mean,
by the way, Freeport is, they have this thing called a nautical mile.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful place.
Is it nice?
If you get a chance to stop at the nautical mile.
Okay.
Yeah, do a little.
Not tonight. You know. No, buddy. No. I got to be here again at 5 o'clock in the morning.
Go have a pop. a fish stick or something.
Okay. Enjoy your sunny Thursday in New York, folks. We're all back again at 6 a.m. tomorrow. Until then, from all of us to all of you.
Peace!